about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What are you talking about? The show's good.
No.
What?
It's not good.
It's good.
And yet, it's not.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin Federline is a term to describe a guy who is a lazy bum with no job and sits around the house all day and also mooches off his rich ex-wife and spends all her money.
So how does that feel?
You know, it doesn't feel good when people talk about you that way. But also I want to say, like, I was a lazy bum and sat around the house and didn't do anything for a long time. So, I mean, I agree with part of it. And I wish I could spend all of her money.
You know, sometimes I think you just want to fail at life.
And now.
You don't want anything?
Oh, no, thanks. I stopped at Starbucks 4 times on the way down here, so I'm kind of jacked.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 18th of September.
Jensen, you are a rap correspondent here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Mm-hmm.
Did Kevin Federline, Britney Spears' ex-husband, have any ability as a rapper?
No.
He was terrible. Nothing.
He was very bad. He was should not have done it.
Okay.
Those are all true. He's not good.
I guess there's a reason why he didn't continue after his brief moment in the spotlight.
Correct.
I mean,
yes.
The people weren't demanding it.
Right.
No. I one time went to one of those white elephant parties. Is that what they call it? Where you give out a gift and it's like for Christmas and you don't know.
Trade with other people?
Yeah, trade around.
Yeah.
And you were only allowed to spend $10 and everyone brought gifts. But then I realized when I got there that no one else had done gag gifts.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And so everyone had real gifts and then my Kevin Federline CD.
Ooh.
I mean, people looked at me with a disgust. Like when people get stuck with it, they were like, ugh.
Did you stand by it?
No.
Listen, this is good.
Yeah, play it off that it wasn't a
gag. I wish
you don't
I could have.
No, everybody thinks it's crappy.
They saw through me. Saw right through me.
Speaking of Kevin Federline, Kevin, help me remember, who on this show got kicked out of a Kevin Federline concert?
That would be the man standing behind me, Omar.
Omar,
that was you?
Oh, yeah.
What was the story? I don't remember the details of
it. It was about 10 years ago, and we were, like, really obsessed with Kevin Federline and how terrible he was. And I was incensed that he was playing the Hollywood House of Blues.
Uh-huh.
He's playing the House of Blues. So Psycho Mike, Dave, and I got trashed, and I started throwing drinks at him on stage and heckling, and then he acknowledged me, and he's all, you're just mad because I took your queen, and then people wanted to fight me, like his fans wanted to fight me.
Oh my god, he had sex with Cassie?
No.
Oh.
Britney
oh,
Spears,
okay.
You know, he thought he was,
okay.
That was his queen.
All right.
And
that would have been awesome, though.
Yeah. If he had Cassie? Yeah.
So then Dave and Psycho Mike couldn't restrain me. Because I was that geeked out of it.
Wow.
So they were trying to pull me out. Security kicked me out, but our promotions director was in the building, so she let me back in.
Oh, my gosh.
Weren't you sitting on somebody's shoulders at one point? Or?
Probably. I blacked out most of it.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
It was good times.
It sounds it.
Do you think Kevin Federline, this is a question for reals. Do you think he remembers? I think he does.
So I think he might because right after this all happened, you know how they have this little like VIP room upstairs? I was so loaded that I pretended that I was from Power 106. I said, my name is Jeff Garcia. And I walked into the room and I jacked a bottle of Jack Daniels from that guy and started drinking more.
Shouts to Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Jeff. He was never allowed in the foundation room again.
Yeah. And that's why he has a misdemeanor on his record because of you. That is crazy that you did that you were so incensed about Kevin Federline.
I mean, it wasn't just incensed. It was also funny, and everybody was egging him on, too.
Yeah,
it's not like everybody was going, dude, slow down. You got to pace yourself.
But at one point, like, Dave and Mike were legit worried about me. Like, dude, you got to settle down. This is just a gag, you know?
Right.
I was like, no, I took it way, way too far.
Whatever happened to... Hold on, I'm going to sneeze, you guys.
Give it to me.
Do it.
Oh, God.
Worse than anything that could have happened.
I know. Here. Okay, it's gone.
You gave us Blue Nose.
I'm sorry. Whatever happened to Kevin, you and our friend Ralph Garman at the time were planning 100% on going to see the Cash Me Outside girl when she came to play.
Yeah.
Bad did Barbie.
Bad Barbie now is what she's called, right? Mm-hmm. Did that show just never happen? She never came to town or what?
I don't remember, but I will say this. A lot of times when you're talking about something, you go, this is the best idea ever. I love it. Mm-hmm. The next day you go, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I've seen her live, sadly.
You have?
Well, really?
Billie Eilish, Brockhampton, and Little Yachty did a big show together, and we went because it was when Billie, it was like one of Billie's first LA shows, and it was one of first Brockhampton shows, too.
That's a big lineup.
Yeah, and so we went out and saw it, my wife and I, and she came out during Little Yachty's set. I guess they had a song together, and I remember looking at Danielle and going, how old? Because I actually didn't remember how old she was. I was like, how old is she? And Danielle's like, I don't know, she's probably like 21. And then we looked it up and she's like 16.
16, yeah.
And she has a weathered tattoo on her arm. Like, not like a new tattoo. She has like a tattoo that like...
That you looks see
like,
60 years later?
Yeah, like she was in the service. You know what I mean? Like, it was faded and it was like, this is such an odd vibe. Mm. But anyway, I had
a great show, I assume.
Oh, I mean, God, like Kiss.
Well, you didn't Omar it up, at least.
No, I didn't throw a drink at her.
All right, we got a very big show today, and we want to start with someone very special on the phone, our super secret guest, who is going to reveal himself now. Good morning, super secret guest.
Blah, blah, good morning, Kevin and me, blah.
I know it seems a little early for Halloween, but it's never too early to give blood. Beer Mug, very special annual event that we do here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't you give people the deets?
We are at the Hollywood Park Casino at the K-Rock Rambo Last Blood Give Blood Drive. And ladies and gentlemen, I need a drum roll. I need a drum roll right now. Get a drum roll up.
All right.
Okay. In the history of all the blood drives that K-Rock has done, the most RSVPs ever.
Really?
Wow.
Ever.
So there are...
That is correct.
That's awesome.
There are 9 people there waiting to give blood?
Right now, there are over 180 people in line, more to come. It's wrapped around the building. All the stations are set up. The lovely people from Cedar Sinai are here taking the blood. We got the SoCal Helpful Honda people. And listen to what you get when you give blood. You guys ready?
Yep.
We got tickets.
Tired of the drum roll.
We got tickets to Not Scary Farm of Monsters of Men in the HD radio sound space. Cage the Elephant, The Revivalist, Oliver Tree, Greta Van Fleet, Felipe Esparza, Morrissey, Bad Religion, Alec Benjamin, and we have tons of swag we're giving away. It is really, truly amazing here.
Wow. That's incredible. Yay! How much free stuff you have. That's fantastic.
I also have to mention that every single time we bring something that's great to our audience, they respond so positively.
They're the best.
Yeah. And strongly.
The community-oriented, for
180
sure.
people in line. It's 540.
Yeah,
that's amazing. All right, location again for people who aren't familiar with the Hollywood Park Casino, Beer Mug.
We are at the Hollywood Park Casino, and I don't have the address in front of me. I should have probably looked at that before I got on air with you.
No. Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah, Dracula Dave's yelling at me. Just Google where the Hollywood Park
Casino
is.
Just Google it.
It is 3883 West Century Boulevard, Inglewood, California, 90303.
Oh, in case we want to mail them a letter instead.
Mm-hmm. You guys want a phone number?
We're good.
Real quick, guys, since I came on as Beer Mugula, and this is the Rambo Last Blood Give Blood Drive, Kevin, let's hear a little Rambo, huh?
Is that how this works?
Yeah. If somebody requests it, you have to deliver.
I want him to know that I'm going to kill him. And, hey, I wasn't even done.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't finished.
Kids,
sorry.
For God's sakes, I was still locked in.
I want them to know that I'm going to kill them, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Can you now? Do Jigsaw? Do you want to play a game?
Do you want to play?
Eerily similar.
It is indeed. Look, I have one voice. All right,
no, you don't now. Go ahead. Give me some Willy.
No problem.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, let's not forget about the queen.
Oh, right. Yeah.
F you, Amor.
Amor?
Whatever his name is.
She doesn't know. She's
got an accent.
Out of her mind.
She's got an accent. Yeah. All right. Beer Mug, fantastic. Sorry, Beer Mugula, fantastic job. You're going to be down there for the entirety of the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock is going to be down there until 3 p.m. This is the Rambo Give Blood Drive, courtesy of Rambo Last Blood. The Legend Comes Home to theaters this Friday. Great job. We'll check in with you again later. Thanks, Mugs.
Blah!
Well done.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? I'm a guy, so I'm better.
Jeez, Kevin. I mean, that's how we're starting? The hell?
Comedian Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
The best. How great is she?
She's great.
She's going to join us today. Very excited about that. We have a brand new fast food report.
Mm-hmm.
Bumper stickers. What's up?
Oh.
Bean makes us guess.
Oh.
We also have Scott Aukerman in studio talking about the movie Between Two Ferns.
Oh, good Lord.
Do we all watch it?
Yep.
Yes.
He only wrote it and directed it.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's only starring everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, even a random background singer in a bar, I was like, oh my God, I know who that is. It's Phoebe Bridgers. It was insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's fantastic is what it is. Yeah. We will take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
About 5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can win tickets to see the Black Keys at the Wiltern tomorrow night. Free on us at the world-famous K-Rock. Allie, what's happening on this Wednesday morning?
Well, we talked about it late yesterday. NBC Universal announcing its forthcoming streaming service. It'll be named The Peacock. It's set to debut in April 2020. They're going to have new reboots of classic TV series like Battlestar Galactica. We talked about Saved by the Bell yesterday. And Punky Brewster. What? Okay. They're also going to have new comedies. They'll have an SNL docuseries from Lorne Michaels, a Jimmy Fallon talk show, another Real Housewives spinoff also coming to the service, and they're going to house a huge library of former NBC sitcoms, The Office, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, Cheers, Frasier. Those are all really good shows, you guys.
Agreed.
On the film side, Universal Pictures and DreamWorks Animation are going to develop some original series. And the Peacock will also house Universal and Focus Features film library, including American Pie, Bridesmaids, Back to the Future, E.T., and Jaws. So I feel like they've got a pretty good start on things over there.
Why do we have to have so many streaming services?
It's going to get to the point where they want you just to get rid of cable, is what they're doing.
Right.
And you have to get every streaming service. And will it wind up, after you buy all of that, to be a little cheaper than cable? I mean, probably. let's all be
it's
honest.
Possible, yeah.
Maybe. With sports, though, then I have to... I'm still confused.
Yeah, you have to buy different packages, I feel like.
And news, too, by the way. I mean, part of the reason you have cable is so you can watch, CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and stuff like that.
Unless you're Kevin.
Well, he's a kid.
Yeah. So there you have it, you guys. That's some serious stuff right there.
I mean, look, people love their, Parks and Rec and shows like that. Mm-hmm. They're going to want it.
Yeah, Frasier heads, man.
Frasier heads. They get down. They get down. How did you never watch Frasier, Bean? And it's about a radio guy.
In Seattle, right?
Yes.
Kind of embarrassing to admit. I didn't it didn't track with me that he was doing a radio show. Because I didn't really know anything about Frasier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in your defense, there were only like 4 episodes, and then it got canceled.
Yes. No, yeah. Actually, there's like over 150.
I think.
It was like the most winningest sitcom for a while in the Emmys.
Yeah, I think it was like 11 years or something like that.
Wow.
I did what I usually do, which is watch the last episode, which I, which I did with Seinfeld, and I've done with a lot of shows. Uh-huh. And I thought, this show's really good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I guess I missed that one. It went right by me.
Wow. I mean, it's essentially you.
Yes.
It's a radio guy in Seattle.
Yes. Yeah.
Doing it from his house sometimes.
With his dog.
I know. Believe me.
And he got bit by a random cat that he let in.
I didn't see that episode. Oh. But it does seem like it's something I ought to go back and catch up on. But you know what? Too much TV.
You aren't wrong.
Time to go back and catch up on a show that's not on anymore?
Well, I'll tell you this. We all know I did order Disney Plus because it was happening during the show where I was trying to get the deal online.
We actually couldn't get you to do what's happening.
No, right. I couldn't really do my job because I was trying to get the deal. Well, this was before I knew this. what's happening over there at Disney Plus with Jon Favreau? Remember the retro Star Wars holiday special from 1978?
Oh, yeah. We all do. You can target it. The infamous. Yeah.
Very, very polarizing within the Star Wars fandom.
Is it polarizing or does 100% of the people hate it?
I would say 100% of the people hate it.
If you like it, you're being ironic. Yeah.
But it was adorable. I mean, like little Wookiees and
their It wasn't adorable. It was awful.
It's out of canon even at this point.
B. Arthur was serving drinks in the cantina. I mean, come on. I mean, even Mark Hamill. Not a fan. So when Luke Skywalker is like not interested, that's why it's odd that Mandalorian showrunner Jon Favreau says that the holiday special represents a bit of nostalgia worthy of a reboot on Disney Plus.
What are you
doing?
No.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What?
Here's his quote. Yep. He said, "I love the holiday special. Certain sequences more than others. That's my generation. I love the introduction of Boba Fett and that rifle that he had. The animated piece still holds up. It's pretty cool. I draw inspiration from that.
What's going on?
I would love to do a holiday special. I got to pitch that to Disney Plus." So maybe he doesn't want to reboot that one. Maybe he's thinking of an all new holiday special. And I say, I don't mind. Is that weird? I don't mind. You know how much I love Christmas and I love Star Wars.
Do you think it's like Casey Musgrave singing with Chewbacca?
That'd be amazing.
I'd
be in.
I hope so.
Okay.
It would be amazing.
It's been a long time since I've seen the Star Wars holiday special. Wasn't the plot that Chewbacca was trying to get home for Christmas to be with his family?
Yes, and little Wookiees were crying, and I just remember being a little girl being so sad for those Wookiees. And just like, oh, look, they're so sad that their daddy's not there, and just crying.
Hmm. Jensen, do you own a copy?
No. It's very difficult.
It's near impossible.
I have it on DVD.
Ooh, on DVD.
On DVD?
Yeah.
A bootleg.
Yeah, bootleg. Wow.
Bean, will you send it to me?
Bean Lawbreaker.
So I can turn you into the cops,
Right?
Here's my address. It's FBI.
I think the FBI warning is still on it. I have not seen it in many, many, many years in my house or in my storage, but I will certainly look for it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see it.
I guarantee you, it's got to be on YouTube at this point,
It has
right?
to be on YouTube, yeah.
Who's got time for YouTube, though?
Right.
Guys, you got to like put in if you haven't
seen it and you don't know what we're talking about, it's one of the worst programs ever made.
So
and
bad.
It's so psychedelic, too. You can't, I mean, they were definitely high.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Croft Superstars were like, hey, let's do a Christmas special with Star Wars characters. Right? Sid and Marty?
Yeah.
Yes. I just called them the Croft Superstars.
You did.
You can find a pretty good version of it, first generation VHS.
Really?
Yeah, right now.
VHS?
Well, I'm saying it's direct from VHS to YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were telling me to order a VHS tape.
Yeah. Also, get a VCR.
Okay.
Got to do a lot of things, but it's good.
There's a package right here. You can get both of them.
Yeah, there's a few good ones in the hundreds of thousands of views, but then the rest of them are all pretty bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look it up after the show.
Good times.
Or... as I do during the show.
Yeah.
Some birthdays for you guys.
Elvira.
Nope. Thank you, though. That was yesterday, sir. Some good ones. Jason Sudeikis, Jada Pinkett Smith, James Marsden, and one of my favorite human beings, Mr. Fred Willard. Oh, good Lord. Love him. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have tickets for Black Keys.
Yeah,
right
we
now.
Do.
If you want to call right now. 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to apologize in advance what you're going to hear and the game you're going to have to play, but you will be able to win those tickets coming up next on the...
Black Keys, one of our great rock bands working today. I'm getting all sorts of echo. That's weird. Have been away for 5 years, you guys, and they have returned to kick off their 38-date North American Let's Rock Tour. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at the Wiltern. You can go to KROQ.com for a chance to win a ticket, or you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we unfortunately like to call Meow Meowki.
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Meow, 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 me
Can we play the game?
Can
we play the game?
What?
Look, I love cats, but that one needs to be put down. I'm sorry. That is just, that's intolerable. Kevin, you want to explain the game to our callers on hold, please?
Yes, we are going to meow a song. We're going to meow a song and like you just heard.
Shouts to the Atlanta Morning Show we stole this from.
Agreed. Yes. Yeah. Stole it wholeheartedly from
just
you.
Just straight up. Heard
first,
it, heard
first
it on the radio.
We mocked it. Yep. We mocked it as yep. being terrible. And the more we listened to it, the more we thought, you know what? That's actually kind of fun. Let's do it.
All right, so we're going to spin the wheel. It's going to land on somebody. They're going to do a meowy version of a Black Keys song. All you have to do is identify it. What song is it?
Now, are we, and if you're right, you go into the drawing, somebody wins the tickets for Black Keys. Are we Instagram Living right now?
Yes.
Okay, Instagram Live, if you want to see the magic, let's
at
go to
Kevin
our,
and Bean.
Let's go to our first contestant. Who would that be, please?
That would be Patrick in Corona. Good morning, Patrick.
It's Patricia.
Good morning, Patricia. Is it Heimer?
Can you put Patrick on the phone, please? All right, Patricia, we're going to spin the wheel and find out who's going to be meowing a Black Keys song. You just identify it by title, and you're in the drawing.
And okay. You get the King of Mexico.
Yay!
Yeah,
right.
Sorry, Patrick.
Patricia.
Oh, Patricia. Mm-hmm. All right. You ready, Patricia?
I am.
All right, here we go. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, I think that's plenty. I think that's plenty.
Have you heard that song?
That's a very sad cat.
Okay. Wow, Patricia, good luck.
Say Lonely Boy, I guess.
Oh, no. It's not your fault.
Wow.
Definitely
oh,
not,
right on.
Not Patricia's
wow.
fault. Nailed it.
I should
wow.
join cats. That was terrible. Brian in Santa Clarita, good morning. Hello, Brian.
Hey.
All right.
Hi, good morning.
Okay. Did we wake you up? You okay?
He's like, I'm Brianna.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, welcome to Meowyoki. Spinning the wheel, and you get me.
Ooh. Oh.
Great.
Let's see if Kevin can meow better than he can whistle.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Ooh.
Tender.
Definitely tender.
Right? Slam dunk. Slam dunk. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, you can't hear a single thing because the cop was right outside?
I think you murdered Brian.
What if it's Brian? Brian, what's that song?
Fever?
Can't be. The voice is calling me.
Now, that's okay, exactly. Yeah, I felt like I was okay.
Well, so did Dave. All right. 0-2.
All right, let's go to Lonnie in Menifee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lonnie, you understand that we're meowing Black Keys songs, right?
So far, so good. We have no one that's got it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's spin the wheel.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good spin, by the way.
Thank you. I really felt good about that. And you get Allie.
Ooh. Hey. Oh.
Lucky you.
All right, Lonnie, we can do this. You ready?
Yes.
Meow, 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 meow. 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 Meow, 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 meow.
Nice.
Is it low high?
How dare you?
Baby, I'm howling for you.
I thought that was the one.
That was howling for you. Come on, Lonnie, get it together.
I don't feel like this is going incredibly well.
I mean, if they didn't get tightened up, then I don't know. If they didn't get it.
Leopold, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I'm sure he's even going to be able to hear us.
Are you in a
car? Can you hear us over the wind?
Are you flying a jet right now? How is it living on the space station? Yeah. All right, listen as closely as you can. We're going to spin the wheel and find out who's going to meow a Black Keys song for you.
All right.
No way he's hearing it. I'm telling you that right now. And you get Jensen.
Oh, my God.
Jensen.
Do I have to scream this, Leopold?
Pretty much. Do it really, really softly.
All right, here we go. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. That part's bad. Meow, 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 meow.
All right. Leopold?
Gold on the ceiling?
Jeez.
You guys, at some point, it has to be us. Right? We're like, these contestants can't get it.
I feel good. The next one's going to get
it. It's not technically our game, so we could always back away from it at any point.
Okay, good.
God, those guys in Atlanta were terrible. Are we are we at sudden death yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Let's figure out the next one.
Okay.
I have faith in Andrew from El Monte. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, I am 4 for 4.
Four for four.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice.
Okay.
It's a good way to jinx yourself.
Yep. No way you'll get this one now. Not possible. And you get Bean.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
I have to meow a Black Keys song now that I haven't heard in years.
But Andrew's right. 4 for 4. So.
Okay, here we go. Meow, 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 meow. Meow 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 meow.
Are you
meow 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 meow
meow meow meow? Yep, yep. You have the same list we do.
Okay. I do.
Okay, I think I might have jinxed myself, but I'm Lonely Boy.
I'm on the
ceiling. I thought I got it.
None of us did.
Whoa. None of us did either.
We were looking at the list.
Okay, I feel like this person's going to get
sudden
it.
Sudden death.
Sudden death.
We have to be sudden death at this point because we've all failed.
All right, let's go to Adrian and Whittier. Good morning.
Good morning, park people.
We are really counting on you more than you know here, Adrian.
It's sudden death, so if you get this, you win, all right?
All right.
Spinning the wheel to see who's going to meow your song. And it is Allie.
Oh. Allie again.
Allie
did a great job with howling for you.
Yeah. Felt like I did.
I think it was on Lonnie back then, but let's see what happens here.
All right, Adrian, you ready?
Ready.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Lonely Boy?
Yeah!
Yeah!
USA! 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 USA!
We did it!
What? Sorry, we were celebrating. What?
What, Adrian?
USA!
All right.
Cool. Have fun at the Black Keys tomorrow night at the Wilter. We got another chance for you to win coming up in less than an hour. Thanks for playing Meow.
Meow, 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 meowie, yoki.
Allie, you're up. What's happening here on this Wednesday morning?
Well, this is quite a story. A fire at a cattle breeding facility caused 100 canisters full of sperm to explode. Blanketing the lab, forcing firefighters to dodge, quote, projectiles filled with valuable cattle semen.
What?
Take it from me. You do not want to take that stuff to the face, the body, anything. It is not pleasant.
Says a woman who speaks from experience.
I said take it from me.
With cattle.
The what?
Whoa. I assume that's what you're talking about is cattle.
That is the story.
I mean, that seems mean to call our boyfriends cows.
Allie, I was horrified when I saw this story, but apparently, at least in the various accounts I've read, no cows were injured, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. According to this, just the building, which is located in Australia, burst into flames around 3 a.m. The blaze quickly engulfed the structure, destroyed all the cryogenic canisters filled with semen, and it took 10 fire crews 2 hours just to contain the inferno. And they're just, you know, ducking and weaving all the bovines.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. Can you imagine the pressurized tanks of bull semen exploding and coming at you while you're trying to fight a fire?
Crazy. Like, they're not dealing with enough just to get the fire out.
It's nuts
like,
that they nailed my kink so perfectly. You know what I mean? Like, just exactly it.
This is the category that you didn't know existed on Pornhub?
I've been waiting.
It's real good, you guys. Real good. Well, shifting gears. A simulated version of the late Whitney Houston is set to hit the road early 2020 on an international trek entitled An Evening with Whitney, the Whitney Houston Hologram Tour.
Cool, why not?
You guys. The tour is scheduled to hit North America next fall. The stage show is going to include all of the singer's biggest hits, digitally remastered and backed by her original band and backup singers. Anyone?
No.
No.
I mean, I'm not really interested in those hologram tours.
I would like to see if one looked great. I think it would be fun just to know what it's about, just to see how good it can look.
Right.
I don't know that Whitney's the one I'm going to.
Okay, so hear me out, right?
All right.
Okay.
The Beatles do it.
Right.
And it's you get Ringo and Paul alive, and then you get George and John
the other guy,
holograms.
John.
What do you go to that? Is there any version of this you go to because the original band is working with the holograms?
I think that one would be one that people would go to.
Sublime
sure.
with hologram.
Nope.
No. How about... I'm trying to think of a band where the lead singer...
Was that the case with the Roy Orbison hologram, where they actually had other musicians on stage playing and they just had a fake Roy?
Well, yeah, that's what they're doing for all of these. It's going to be...
Jensen's suggesting some of the members are real and there.
Well, I think Bean is saying that some of Roy Orbison... Yeah, but I don't. But who cares if Whitney Houston's...
Her original band.
Yeah, I don't really care. I want it to be like, you know...
Like if John Bonham was the... How would you hologram the drummer, though?
That'd be real hard.
That'd be rough. Okay, that didn't work.
Blind Melon.
Nirvana.
Nirvana is the biggie, right.
Okay.
Nirvana would be huge.
So Dave is back there. He's playing the drums.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kirk or whatever.
And then
Kurt's the
hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Chris on bass. Oh,
Chris on bass.
That sounds blasphemous to me, that one.
Oh, but the Beatles
but it's him.
Didn't?
Yeah, it's technically him.
It's him.
Yeah. John Lennon up there didn't sound blasphemous to you?
No, he was fine with that.
And the other guy?
Has Jensen lovingly called him?
Queen? Freddie Mercury with all the living members?
I mean, I'd be tempted to peek at it. I don't think I'd pay and buy a ticket, but I'd like to know how good... I'm just interested in how good the technology is.
The technology, yeah.
I'm not interested to see like Nat King Cole by himself on a stage doing hologram, but if it's a band where a member has been replaced by a hologram, I think I'd go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to applaud the Nat King Cole reference.
It was odd.
I think they did it.
They did it with his daughter.
Okay.
Yeah, Natalie Cole sang with her daughter, with her father during some award show or something.
Yeah, but that was with a video. That wasn't with a hologram.
Listen to Bean, so judgy.
Right? I'm just saying.
That was BS. Didn't get me hard at all.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Well, there was no fire in Bull Steven. Neither Jensen or I were into it.
Hello. All right. You guys want some birthdays?
Calm down, bitch.
Okay. I regret sending you that clip. Jason Sudeikis, happy birthday, as well as Fred Willard, James Marsh.
What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred, what?
Well, Fred's gone.
One more.
Fred's a hologram now.
No, he is not. I'm going to his birthday on Saturday.
Okay.
One more time.
I don't think so.
All right.
There you go.
Not worth it. James Marsden and Jada Pinkett Smith. And
congratulations to Mike Schaefer from Placentia. Won two tickets to the Black Keys at the Wiltern tomorrow night.
Luck out.
Your chance to win coming up in less than an hour.
Yeah, I got it for you every hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Scott Aukerman joins us next hour, the creator, writer, and director of the Between Two Ferns movie, which is available on Netflix this Friday. And our friend Nikki Glaser will join us in the 9 o'clock hour, who is always hilarious. First, though, how about some Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
Any Brad Pitt fans in the room? Anyone enjoy the work in movies of Mr. Brad Pitt?
I'll take that.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah.
I think he's a great actor, too. I do. He's never won an Oscar as an actor yet, but he's been in a lot of terrific movies. And our friends over at Ranker.com have ranked all 47 Brad Pitt movies. What is the best Brad Pitt performance of all time? The movie in which Brad Pitt was the greatest. That's what we are looking for here. So, Brad Pitt fans, listen up. Let's see how you do. You get a point for everything in the top 10. On this edition of Bean Makes His Guest, Kevin, as usual, you get to go first.
This was the movie where the dude was playing the guitar with Lady Gaga, and then they were performing together on a piano, and Bean's like, no, oh,
different
I hope they Brad. Fall in no, love. I would really
Brad.
Love them
that
to fall
Bradley,
in love.
That was Bradley Cooper. Dude. Bradley different Cooper. Brad.
Yeah.
What?
Bradley, that was Bradley Cooper, not Brad Pitt. We're looking for Brad Pitt movies. If that's your guess, sorry, no point for you, sir. Oh. All right, Muggs is on location at the Blood Drive, Hollywood Park Casino right now, so he is unavailable for the game. Jensen, you're subbing in. What's your guess?
I'll go with my favorite Brad Pitt movie, Seven.
It's everyone's yeah! favorite Brad Pitt movie.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? With Gwyneth Paltrow, Morgan Freeman, an all-time classic number one on the ranker list of best Brad Pitt performances. Well done. Jensen is on the board with a point. Allie.
I don't even know if he was that good in this. He was super hot. That's all I remember. Thelma and Louise.
I'm surprised it's not higher. Number 16. Thelma and Louise. Because that was the one where the whole world was introduced to and fell in love with Brad Pitt. Those abs, am I right?
Yeah, that was his big breakout.
Who's with me, ladies?
All right.
Kevin, let's see if you can get the right actor. Brad Pitt is the one we're looking for
All right,
here.
The dude in that movie with Ray Romano. He plays his brother, and his parents come over all the time. He's like, Raymond!
That's a TV show. Brad Everybody Garrett. Loves Raymond, and that's Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
Is he on the list?
God, he's not.
Not a Brad Pitt or a movie. So really no score there.
Scratching that one off.
All right, Jensen, you are currently in the lead with 1 point.
I will go with a movie a lot of people like, Snatch.
Snatch is number 10 on the list. Yes. That was the Guy Ritchie film where you couldn't understand a word Brad Pitt said, which was hilarious.
Very difficult.
All right, Allie, let's get you on the board.
Let's go Interview with the Vampire.
Number 5. Well done. Right. Interview with the Vampire. Kevin, you'd love that movie, right?
I do. Yeah, that was great.
All right, let's see if you can come up with another Brad Pitt movie here.
All right. Get Out. That's a movie, right?
That is a movie.
And the dude that played the dad there, who was also on the West Wing TV show.
Yeah, that's
Whitford?
He played Whitford. Yeah.
It's very weird because you're not selecting movies. You're saying actors' names that are also Brad. So it's like the game is to pick the movies, but you keep saying other Brads. Oh,
Get out then.
Okay, Get Out. Yeah.
I don't even know if Brad Pitt saw Get Out. So it certainly wasn't in it. Okay. All right, Kevin, a rare offer for you today.
Right. I usually destroy at this game.
He also usually answers with the correct noun, like, you know what I mean, like a movie title or whatever.
Dare you. All right, Jensen, what you got?
I'll go with True Romance.
True Romance, which was the one that was, if I remember correctly, written by Quentin Tarantino.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah, I think Ridley Scott directed. Yeah,
it is not in the top 10. I don't see.
Well, there's 10 to look at.
Number 20. Number 20. Okay. Number 20 on the list. Sorry. No point for you. Allie, you can tie the game here.
Okay, let's just go Tarantino and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm going to tell you that I don't know how long this ranker list has been up, but there haven't been enough people who have upvoted that. It is number 31 on the list.
Wow.
Okay.
Number 31. All right, we got time to go around a couple more times. Kevin, you're up.
All right, the movie where the guy wrote that series of books, like I Am Abraham Lincoln and that kind of stuff.
That's our Brad friend, Meltzer.
Brad,
yes.
He's an author.
He's an author.
No movie.
Good God.
He's not Brad Pitt. He's not even an actor.
he was a movie star.
No.
No.
I agree to disagree.
He's on our show.
What is wrong with you?
He's a writer.
All right, Jensen.
I will go with a movie that ruined his marriage, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I enjoyed that movie more than a lot of people did, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I think people were so sad for Jennifer Aniston that they like couldn't enjoy it.
Okay.
But not a point. I'm sorry. Number 13. Number 13 on the list. Close. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. All right, Allie.
Honestly, I have no idea if he's in this, but like a bunch of hot dudes were. Was he in Ocean's 11?
Number 4.
Oh,
Ocean's 11.
A bunch of hot dudes were. Well,
I literally
done.
Wrote Ocean's 11 ?
Do we have a tie game?
We do.
All right, and one more round. Kevin, you're up.
That movie about the band that broke up, but then they played one last time at the Olympic Auditorium, and they started looking for a new lead singer, and Be Real came out, and Send Dog came out.
Are you
out.
Thinking of Brad Wilk, the drummer for Rage Against the Machine?
Yes!
Nothing to do.
Not even a strong Brad.
No. Where was Brad Williams
how
on your goddamn
you?
List, yeah, by
Brad
the way?
Williams. Not a strong Brad.
Where was Brad Williams?
I couldn't figure out how to make it funny.
Much like Brad Williams.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
Jensen Carr.
That was a good joke.
Tie game. This is where it all counts. Jensen, what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to piggyback off of Allie's answer. And although I'd like to say Burn After Reading because it is an incredible Brad Pitt movie by the Coen brothers.
Only one guess. I'm sorry.
Ocean's 12.
Number 21.
Oh, no.
Number 21. Allie.
This is a disaster.
I'm going to say Burn After Reading.
I'm going to say... No, I'm sorry. Number 23 was Bird After Reading. So we have a tie game. Here are some of the films. I'll just give you, say, in the top 20. True Romance, number 20, then World War Z.
Sure.
Then a movie that I loved, Fury, which you guys remember, right, with Shia LaBeouf. Then Ocean's 13, Thelma and Louise, Sleepers, Meet Meet Joe Black, which was terrible.
Terrible.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, A River Runs Through It.
Oh, man.
With Robert Redford. 12 Monkeys, number 11. Oh. Snatch, number 10.
Oh, we're not even in the top 10.
No.
Never mind.
20 to 10, yeah.
Another terrible movie, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, at number 9.
Awful. Yeah.
Number 8, Troy. Remember Troy when he played Achilles?
Barely. Right? Would not have thought that's an 8.
No, he wore sandals. It was gross.
Number 7, a great performance in a great movie, Moneyball.
Yeah, that would be good.
Number 6, you hit one Quentin Tarantino movie, but forgot his best Brad Pitt movie, Inglourious Basterds.
You know what? I'm really mad that one's going to come up, but in our defense, we're not supposed to talk about it.
What? We're not there yet. Okay. Number 5, Interview with a Vampire. Number 4, Ocean's 11. Number 3, Legends of the Fall.
Oh!
Remember that with Anthony Hopkins? Mm. Number 2, and I am stunned nobody said Fight Club.
Yeah!
Fight Club, you guys.
Not supposed to talk about it.
That's right. That makes sense. And number 1 was 7. So we got a tie game today, but this has been Bee Makes Us Guess.
Bee Makes Us Guess.
We'll check in with Beer Mug in a little bit once again down at the annual Blood Drive. Beer Mug is in location at the Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood right now with lots of great K-Rock prizes brought to us by Rambo Last Blood. The movie in theaters everywhere September 20th. Thank you so much to the Kevin Bean listeners, by the way. He said that they were lined up overnight to give blood here this morning.
So great.
Which is astonishing, and we thank you very much. You literally could save a life. I was out the other day, and I had a weird thought. I haven't had a bumper sticker on my car in decades.
Right.
Hasn't even occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of ways you can make a public statement with something. I mean, you can wear it on a T-shirt. I do that every day. You could, if it's something you're really committed to for life, you could make it a tattoo if you want. But a lot of people settle on a bumper sticker. And I wanted to talk about that because I don't feel like you see as many bumper stickers as you used to. Like, it's a little bit out of fashion, except for the K-Rock stickers, which are awesome.
Which are, I mean, those are incredible.
Everyone clearly should have a K-Rock sticker.
Agreed. Those are really good.
Yeah. But I like when you see someone driving down the road, and I see this frequently with like the little Apple cutout that comes with computers, you know, that the little Apple logo. And people go, I identify so much with being an Apple computer user that I'm going to peel that off and put it on the bumper of my car and leave it there for years. Like, what's going on there where being a person with an Apple computer is so much of your identity that you put it on your bumper sticker?
Like past candidate election bumper stickers? Like, I'm fine with current or whatever. Yeah, but like when you see Michael Dukakis, 88, you know what I mean? Like those.
Well, that's a different problem. The other problem is you never take them off. Once you put them on, never take them off.
Right. It's because it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
Dukakis is always on a Volvo, though. Have you noticed? Yeah. Always a Volvo.
You know, before we get into the political stickers, though, like the Apple guy, what's his deal?
Why would he put that on his car?
He's an Apple head, man.
Yeah, but millions of people have Apple computers. Are you bragging? I mean, how is that a brag?
Well, that's the same as like the Calvin and Hobbes peeing on a Ford sign. Do you know that one?
Yeah, because I own a Chevy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it.
I mean, I didn't want to say you had it. But yeah. But like, that is a statement, right? Like, these statements are being made, and I think that the people who have these bumper stickers are thrilled to do it. I just don't feel like that person.
Yeah, is this supposed to be a burn for the Microsofters, though? Is that what it is? Is just to like rub it into the world that uses Microsoft products and saying, look, I'm better than you?
I don't know. I doubt it. I would assume they're just excited.
Proud.
Yeah, proud.
And by the way, if you have a bumper sticker on your car, this is the whole point of this. We would like you to tell us what it is and why.
Defend it.
Maybe you don't have to defend it.
No, I'd like them to. I need them to.
Yeah,
for my own sake.
Maybe we'll all think it's awesome. But if you have a bumper sticker on your car now in 2019, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. What about the people who, and I see this, a variation of this frequently, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Is that just somebody just trying to convert me? Is that what that's about?
Boy, I don't even know, because it doesn't seem like that message is for you.
Well, the other day I saw one while driving that was just a small square, and it was the Nazi sign. It was the swastika, and it had a Ghostbusters line through it, you know, like no swastikas.
Right.
And I was like, Yeah.
It's pretty understood.
I mean, we all do. We all sort need of one of those. Yeah, like now I'm nervous. I don't have one.
Yeah, but that at least I understand a little bit because of kind of the rise of, you know, white power in this country. And
but is that the statement you need to make on your car? That's the defense I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to hear you say it's doing something on my car.
Right, right.
It's helping.
I also saw. And this is actually literally the bumper sticker that made me think that we needed to do this topic on the air. I love, it was either I love or I support my public library.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is, I mean, it's a sweet thing to do, but how much of your identity is it that you put it on a bumper sticker on your car?
This is what I want. I want you to know only one thing about me.
Yeah.
I love me some libraries.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that is.
I would assume it was either a librarian or somebody that supports their library and they donate, so mm-hmm. that is part of the package that you get so from your donation. You get a free bumper sticker.
So you think they're trying to get that message out so other people
yeah,
would do that?
Absolutely.
Allie, you still have the Support World Peace on your car?
I did as a kid. I'm not going to lie. I used to laugh when I'd see that because it wasn't World Peace. It was just a picture of like the vegetable peas just right. going through the air because they were world with a W-H. I thought that was so clever. Is that weird?
Don't tell that story again.
I was a kid.
That was a single Allie McKay right there with that story. Jensen, have you ever had a bumper sticker on your car?
I have never had a bumper sticker on my car. No.
Kevin.
I've had Galaxy and Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, now see, that makes sense.
Yeah, but yes.
Totally makes sense. I don't know why it's different for me, but if you're repping your sports team, that makes sense.
But
to
I
me.
Did a license plate like a license plate frame for the Clippers. Like I just feel like a bumper sticker is like I have 100 cats. You know what I mean? Like it's just saying something else.
I don't think that's the case. Because I only have in the high 90s, but not 100. Don't be ridiculous.
All right. Do you
By
have
the way, is the one that you see the most the family with the dad?
Or baby on board.
Or baby on board. Yeah.
Or absolutely. The my kid is a honor student.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call, 1-800-520-1067. Let's do Manny in Reseda because he actually has the Apple sticker on his car. We were trying to figure out how Apple becomes so much of your identity that you drive around with it all the time. Manny, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's up, my friend?
Hey, here. How you doing, guys?
We are good, thank you.
Good. Tell us about your sticker.
Great. All right, well, I have this sticker for 15 years on both my cars.
Okay.
The little white Apple because I never get a virus. I mean, Apple is the best. PC, I always get a virus. Programs suck on PC.
You know, there are lots of viruses on Apple computers now. I don't want you to be fooled by the fact that you just haven't gotten one.
Well, it's much easier. Manny's right in the sense that it's less virus.
Yeah, there are fewer. Apple, yeah. But it's we're long past the days of no viruses. So what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get other people to?
He just said, "I look at porn." Wait, what, Manny, is that what you said, Manny?
You say, Manny?
Yes, I look at porn and I never get a virus. I used to get viruses all the time when I was on PC.
I mean, let's unpack this. What's your favorite kind?
No, wait, he's saying, hold on.
Because porn gives you a lot of viruses on your computer, but
unless
because he uses Apple,
it's an Apple.
He's okay. Like, I'm safe.
So let's take a step back.
Uh-huh.
He has bumper stickers on his car because it gives him a freer porn viewing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
I like it, man.
So you're encouraging porn to everyone else that sees your bumper sticker. Hey, use Apple. You'll get
free porn.
Free porn.
if you don't want to get a virus.
Less
if
malware.
You don't want to get a virus.
Yeah, if we wanted a virus, Apple. We'd have actual sex.
All right, Manny. Thank you for the call. I think you made some converts here. 1-800-520-1067. What's your bumper sticker and why? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Billie Eilish. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it... sorry, I went to the wrong line. Where is... I don't even see her.
Like
oh, there
five.
She is. Five. Gotcha. Yuvia in Victorville?
Yeah, good morning.
Yes.
Yes.
Yuvia, I'm so glad you called. How's that Cracker Barrel up there in Victorville?
Oh, it's really good. I try their hash browns with cheese and onions. They're delicious.
I'm gonna meet you up there one day. I can't wait to make it to that Cracker Barrel.
I feel like we may be off topic.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah,
possible
yeah.
Off topic. That's right. We're talking about bumper stickers. You have one in your car. What is it, and why did you put a bumper sticker on your car?
So my bumper sticker says Scrub Life, like S-C-R-U-B, Life.
Scrub Life.
And it has a little stethoscope and the little EKG sign because I'm a nurse. And living in scrubs is my life. So Scrub Life.
Okay.
I love you.
I like the way she delivered it right there.
I'm just glad it wasn't like a little picture of like Left Eye Lopez on the left. And then you're like, oh, no. She's...
Don't want no nope. scrubs.
Yeah. No scrubs. No scrubs.
All right.
Scrubs.
Okay.
Put that in the file, first of all. But second of all, Yuvia, we will allow it. Thank you for being a nurse. You're one of the good ones. We appreciate it. All right.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys.
You bet. Thank you very much.
By the way, we're talking about bumper stickers. Who still has them and why? How about musical acts? Kevin, you talked about your appreciation for your local sports teams. Mm-hmm. Like, if Rage Against the Machine existed, would you ever put a Rage Against the Machine sticker on your car?
Probably.
I mean, there are a lot. You know, you definitely occasionally will see, like, a Mike Hemp sticker or something, or Chili Pepper sticker or something like that, some band that people are really, really into. And I guess I sort of get that, too.
Sure.
All right, let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to start with Adrian up first here, Los Angeles, Line 6, please.
Morning, Adrian.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, what's going on?
How's it going? Hey, talking about the stickers, in my driver's side, I got a two-door, it's an Infiniti, and it's dropped. I have a sticker that says, let me guess, driver license, registration, and proven insurance.
And that is specifically for when you get pulled over?
Not that I get pulled over a lot, but yeah, it's for me to see if I can get away with it, make the police officer crack a joke. Or
I see. Okay.
So maybe he's in a little bit of a better mood, so he doesn't give you a ticket.
I know, right? And then on my passenger side, I got another sticker that says no fat chicks allowed.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, the cop's gonna love that one too.
That's not a problem at all. Driving around with that in 2019.
Not at all. No, Adrian.
Thank you for the call. By the way, no love for ass, gas, or grass. No one rides for free. Come on, where's that sticker?
In the 70s?
How about keep on trucking? No love for keep on trucking?
I mean, if you're a time traveler, these work perfect.
All right, give me some Lori, please. She's at HB, line 7, up next.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good, thank you.
Great, what's your brother's
sticker? My favorite people.
Thank you.
Okay, so my friend are taking the grandkids, and we're taking the grandkids to the mall, you know, for school clothes, and we pull up behind a car, and it says, honk if you love Jesus. So we're all honking and thumbs up and everything, and the guy's all flipping us off out the window and everything. So
wait. Wait, his sticker said honk if you love Jesus. You honked.
And so we get up to the next lane, and I'm like, dude, he's like, why are you honking at me? And blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I said, we're honking at you because your bumper sticker says honk if you love Jesus. And he goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. It's my mother-in-law's car.
Oh, that's funny.
Story, okay?
That's very funny. Thank you for the call, Lori. Hey, speaking of honking, Omar, what's the sticker you're ordering online today right after the show?
I'm going to get a honk if you're horny. I love that.
That is all right. Let me see. How about, let's go to Dan Pico Rivera, line 1, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Talking bumper stickers, these days you see fewer of them. Why are you committed to putting something on your car full time? What's yours?
Well, I love bad humor. You should appreciate that.
We do too. Okay, go ahead.
Made a living at it.
I have a sticker that says, well, I have the logo for Comedy Central and Fox News. It says Comedy Central, my news channel. Fox News, my comedy channel.
So you are demanding to get your car keyed, essentially, right?
Well, here's a funny thing. People that agree with me, like, give me the thumbs up, and people that don't see it because they have their heads or asses.
So. All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Ryan in Hollywood. I think he has a deep, thoughtful bumper sticker, if I understand correctly.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning. What you got?
So I completely against bumper stickers on cars until my wife got her current job that she's in now. And they asked us and said, yeah, you know what? We'll put your bumper sticker on. So when you look at it, it says, be a branch in someone else's family tree. When I first heard that, I thought, oh, that's kind of an insult. I'm going to tell my sister that.
But what does it mean?
It means father children. Actually, what?
No, it's actually for foster care. So she works for a nonprofit foster care agency. So it's hey, be a branch, because there's a lot of kids out there who are in need. Go be a branch in someone else's family tree for once.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Lovely.
I can't find any way to turn that negative.
Yeah. And then on the other side, he has no fat chicks allowed.
Yeah. That is very sweet. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. You know, I hadn't even thought about that category of people who are trying to encourage good behavior. Like, for instance, you know, give blood, you know, would be another example of something you're just trying to make awareness happen. All right. Good call there. Let's try. Let me see. Blah, 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 blah. How, let's go to Joanna. She has a very specific line 8, very specific bumper sticker. Let's see what kind of reaction she gets down there in Echo Park.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi there. What bumper sticker do you have?
I have a bumper sticker for the American Quarter Horse Association. So it says AQHA.
Same.
Why do they even make that bumper sticker?
I don't really know. I just know that, you know, I was like with my folks when they first got the truck like 13 years ago, and horses have been a huge part of my life. And since all of my family has moved away, it's kind of like a nice little reminder, like a little sentimental kind of thing on there just for me.
And do you horsey people give each other like thumbs up when you run into each other out on the road?
I mean, I live in Echo Park. There aren't really any horsey people out here.
Okay. All right. But you're doing your bit. Thank you, Joanna. Let's close with one more. Let's make it Ginger. Pico Rivera, line 6, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Ginger.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
Talking about bumper stickers. What do you have and why?
Okay. So we were leaving a restaurant. There was a cop car parked next to us. We had K-Rock stickers on us, so we slapped the K-Rock sticker on the back of a cop car.
Oh, well, that seems...
I think that's fantastic.
That seems like a good idea. That's definitely...
It was an excellent idea. We couldn't stop laughing our asses off.
You did the right thing.
There's nothing funny than vandalism.
USA! 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 We have a brand new fast food report coming up just after the top of the hour, and then Scott Aukerman joins us, the writer and director of Between Two Ferns.
And the genius behind comedy Bang Bang for the last 10 years, too.
Yay! Correct.
I love Scott. That's
so
on
does
way.
That one person.
That plus, one kid loves it.
Plus your Black Keys tickets, too, at the top of the hour. First, though, let's go back out to Inglewood, where Beer Mug this morning, I can't resist myself, is up to no good.
Yeah. No, you should have.
It's K-Rock's Rambo Give Blood Drive happening today. The new Rambo Last Blood movie in theaters everywhere on September 20th. And they, along with the helpful Honda dealers, are helping us put together our annual blood drive. Beer Mug, what is the scene down there at the Hollywood Park Casino?
Guys, there are so many good people here donating their blood, getting refueled, getting their blood sugar back up. I'm eating a lot of Famous cookies, Oreos, and some cranberry juice, washing it down.
But I just have a question. You're leaving enough for people who donate blood, right?
There's tons of food
okay,
here, Kevin.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
You can pack it away. I'm just saying.
I can't. Besides giving blood, there are a lovely representative from Be The Match is here, and they're taking cheek swabs for bone marrow. So that's another great thing that's going down right here at Hollywood Park Casino.
That's fantastic. Beer Mug's practically running a hospital
right
down there today.
Yeah, he's got this like a triage.
This is great.
I'm Mug's, Dr. Beer Mug.
For folks who have not heard your reports since first thing this morning, you are giving away maybe more stuff you've ever had in one location at one time. What are some of the prizes that are available for people who come by today?
We have tickets for the Not Scary Farm grand opening tomorrow night. We have Monsters and Men, Cage the Elephant, Greta Van Fleet, Felipe Esparza, Morrissey, the Revivalist, and tons more. So get down here.
Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood. Beer Mug will be there till the end of our show today, and then other K-Rock representatives will be there down till 3 o'clock. It's the least you can do to literally save a life is spend about a half an hour, give some blood, and do the right thing and get a prize
and
as well.
And we've had a great turnout, too. Thank you to everybody who's
fantastic. Thank you, Mugs. Terrific job. We'll talk to you next hour, sir. Allie, time for you, and what's happening?
Well, I quote-tweeted a tweet that I saw yesterday from Variety, and people are not pleased, you guys.
Oh,
here's
with
the tweet.
You or with the tweet?
Or
both.
They agree with my reaction to the tweet, but let me read you what I quote tweeted.
Okay,
it's from Variety, and it says, "Sony Pictures Entertainment CEO Tony Vinciquerra, I believe is his name, says that quote, very famous people whose names I won't use want to redo Norman Lear's The Princess Bride."
No!
Which is what I quote tweeted. Just the word no.
Wait, how is it Norman Lear's
Princess He's the executive Bride? Producer. They yeah. make it clear in the article. So, yeah, don't be thinking, oh, what about William Goldman? Everything's fine. He still wrote it. Everything's good. Rob Reiner still directed it.
Okay.
We're not changing history.
Okay, we're not.
But
okay.
it was a whole thing on Norman Lear, so they were talking about him in the article.
Gotcha.
But, wow, people do not want that probably more than anything I've ever quote tweeted about. Like, people were just really upset. I mean, how do you make a perfect movie perfecter?
That's the problem.
Good question.
Perfect movie.
Yeah. And then I thought the only way I would be okay with anything new Princess Bride is, what if, you know, when Norman Lear did the live staging of the Jeffersons and, I was going to say One Day at a Time. Nope.
All in the Family.
What if you did a live staging of The Princess Bride on TV with the best comedic actors ever? That would be incredible. One night only, just a live restaging of The Princess Bride. I would accept that.
What's the difference between that and making a film that's in theaters?
Because it's just one night and it's appointment TV and it's live.
How about if they made a movie but they only showed it one night in theaters? Would that satisfy you?
You are insane right now.
I'm just trying to understand how you're dicing this.
Well,
that's
a movie theater, a movie isn't live. This is a live
remake. So you don't mind it being remade as long as it's live and for one night only?
It's not remade. it's just redone. One night and live.
Just say no.
Just no.
Stick with your original answer.
Okay.
So let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be devil's advocate here, but I don't have any problem with any movie being remade because the original still exists if people want to watch it. Okay.
True.
Did you have, or did others who are complaining about The Princess Bride, were they furious that A Star Is Born was remade for the fourth time?
No, because that movie sucked.
They don't care.
Yeah.
But I mean, A Star Is Born, that's a movie that has a great long Hollywood history and has been previously done as a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, but it also, like when I said it sucked, I mean, it sucked.
What, the new Star Is Born?
No, A Star Is Born. It's stupid.
You're wrong.
Screw that movie.
It was a great film.
I think you're way wrong. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head in recent years, like True Grit, for instance, which was great, that came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that was a remake. Lots of movies are remakes because people get older and people don't go back and watch the original. Look, it hurt me when they started talking about remaking Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, because I think that's a perfect movie. Mm-hmm. But it's not going anywhere. Anyone who wants to see that movie can still see it.
If you want to make it. Are you positive about that, though?
Yes, I am. If somebody wants to make it for a new generation with new stars that introduce a great script and a great movie idea to an entirely new audience that may not even know about the original, how long ago is The Princess Bride? 40 years?
It seems long.
That seems real long, Pete.
But maybe it's time for a new generation to be introduced to that story.
But I feel like a new generation is watching A Princess Bride. A new generation right now, no offense, but I don't think before the remake of A Star Is Born, we're like, let's check out a cool movie with, what's her name, Barbara Streisand.
Right.
I don't think people were clamoring for a...
But also, why not just make a new version? Like, it doesn't have to be the same story. Like, give them their own Princess Bride.
Well, that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about actually.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You don't want that. I mean, you know, people were upset that The Lion King was being remade. They thought The Lion King was a perfect movie.
Well, look at how much that tanked.
I do have a good idea for the Andre the Giant casting, though.
Okay.
Boban!
Yeah, Boban.
Boban.
Oh, yes! Boban.
Wouldn't he be great?
All right, now I'm in. Remake it. Let's do it.
I guess what I'm saying is both can exist and they can be for two completely different audiences, and that's okay. Not one Agreed. Thing has to be for everybody.
However, if the movie is considered this good, then you really have a pretty big task in front of you.
Yeah, I'd be terrified if I was doing it.
I mean, I think Ghostbusters is going to be very hard. All that stuff is difficult anytime you're picking up a title people find beloved.
Allie, were you outraged that they remade Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
No, because I saw it and then I laughed. Wow, was that horrible.
The remake was bad.
It was awful.
But I mean, but they tried. They tried to do the same thing we're talking about, which is to make a new movie with a big star Johnny Depp for a new audience.
Yeah, I get it.
Let people try.
I get it.
But they're not all going to be successful, but let people try. That's what I'm saying.
And I say this, you know, no, I don't want a new Princess Bride. That upsets me. But then I also think, okay, any John Hughes movie, I would be really mad. Well, there have been a couple, whatever. But if a new Pretty in Pink, F you. New Breakfast Club, how dare you? There are just certain movies that we hold dear in our hearts, which I got to admit other people don't.
Right. I think that's the point is let's not look at it from our own personal, you know, as our own personal vanity project. Think about the wider audience out there. Look, King Kong, one of the greatest movies ever made. How many times has that been remade?
78. You know?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Godzilla as well.
Godzilla, yeah.
I don't look sad, but I really am disappointed.
I mean, that kid, I think, speaks for a lot of us when she's we talk about Princess
Bride.
She's
taking it hard. I understand.
All right. Well, I still say live. Just one night would be kind of cool.
I mean, you guys want to get back into why that's different?
They weren't throwing that out there. It's not like a...
No.
Okay.
No, but it's Norman Lear, and he's the executive producer of Princess Bride, and he just won an Emmy for the live...
We understand that. But what I'm saying is both of these aren't being weighed in public so that we can all vote.
What if Norman Lear...
They just said they're going to remake it.
What if Norman Lear loves Kevin and Bean? He's listening right now, and he's like, that sounds great. I like to think that a 97-year-old man woke up, and he's like, got to put on those Kevin and Bean guys.
Well, he gets Jensen's references if he's listening.
Says the guy who can't stop making 1920s references. Hiya, folks.
All right, some birthdays for you. Jada Pinkett Smith, James Marsden, Jason Sudeikis, and Fred Willard.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
That is not Fred.
You'd be hard pressed to find a funnier movie with more cameos in it than Between Two Ferns.
Agreed.
Coming to Netflix on Friday. Everyone you've ever heard of is in this movie doing ridiculous things. And we'll talk to the creator, writer, and director, Scott Aukerman, coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Sean Carrick. Always great to have Scott back on the show. First, though, Jensen, time for the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Thanks, Omar. Guys, it was a big day in the fast food industry yesterday. I was so happy to see so many listeners tagging me in tweets about new announcements because it was almost a holiday of major announcements.
All right. Fantastic.
We're in what I'm calling the chicken sandwich wars, right? Mm-hmm. Ever since the phenomenon that was the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich, every chain has tried to capitalize on this trend. You have the McDonald's new spicy chicken barbecue sandwich. You have Wendy's bacon jalapeno chicken sandwich. And obviously, Chick-fil-A's had a stronghold on the industry for quite some time. Well, I'm happy to announce that yesterday, KFC has started its own reign. It is the supreme franchise when it comes to chicken sandwiches because in 40 locations spread throughout Virginia and Pittsburgh, the chain will roll out the chicken and donuts menu.
Oh.
Now, we talked about it just the other day during my diarrhea-inducing visit to the L.A. County Fair.
Oh.
And now you can enjoy the indigestion as well with a piece of fried chicken, sort of a breast in the middle, between two warm glazed donuts as buns. And
I
presto.
Come on.
That's their entry into the chicken sandwich wars. The mix of sweet and savory will cost you $6 or $8 in a combo. So I ask, chicken with glaze, are you amazed or completely dismayed? Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Allie.
I am currently looking for flights to Virginia.
Eat it
so much.
Okay. Now, also remember, at any point, you could probably get the chicken breast and then get your own donuts. But sure, I understand this whole thing as far as having it in one place.
Like a lot of
convenience.
Work.
It's too much work.
Kevin, eat it or beat it?
Eat it.
Yeah.
Bean?
I can't say no to that.
Eat it. Eating chicken.
Wow, eating chicken bean.
I mean, I feel like I got to try it.
You do.
How does one top that mashup, you might ask? You may think it's impossible. Well, then you haven't heard enough fast food reports because everything can be escalated. Let me introduce you to the new Pizza Hut Stuffed Cheez-It Pizza.
Stuffed Cheez-It Pizza.
Pizza Hut Stuffed Cheez-It Pizza. The pizza franchise has teamed up with the Cheez-It Chip to offer four baked jumbo squares with a crust topped with the iconic sharp cheddar flavor of Cheez-It crackers, and they look like little puffy Cheez-It crackers themselves. They're just these little pockets that look just like Cheez-Its. Hmm. Each crispy square is stuffed with either cheese or pepperoni and cheese and comes served with a side of marinara dipping sauce. They'll be found at participating locations starting September 24th for the price of $6.49. So I ask, is it a partnership of flavor? Do you cover it in cheese or prefer a disease? Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Kevin.
Eat it.
Eat it.
You're going to have a heart attack.
I mean, from the food or from the yelling?
Both. Yelling.
Pizza Hut stuffed Cheez-It pizza bean. Eat it or beat it.
I am not a Cheez-It fan.
What?
I think there are way better ways to get cheese on my pizza.
What are you, a communist?
I am a beat it is what I am.
Wow.
Beat it.
Allie, eat it or beat it?
The Cheez-Its were making up the crust, right?
Yes. Well, it's a similar-esque Cheez-It crust, yes.
I think I'm in.
All right. Yeah. There you go. While on the subject of cheese, let's make our way over to the Amigos at El Pollo Loco. Now, this is the first kids menu ever. It's the first kids menu item ever for Fast Food Report. And I'm being told, much like Kevin's everyday life, you can order from the kids menu without any repercussions.
Oh, nice.
Let's take a look at the new mac and cheese chicken taco.
Eat it.
What? Again, it is a mac and cheese chicken taco, crisp tortilla shell filled with fire-grilled chicken and, yes, macaroni and cheese. This sounds like a stoner's late-night concoction, but it's available for a limited time, just $2.49 a la carte or $5 with a regular drink and small side. So I ask, good for the bigs or leave it to the kids? Eat it or beat it? Don't beat.
I've already killed one chicken today. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to kill one to put together with mac and cheese. That sounds like too much for me. I'm going to beat it.
All right, Allie?
Leave my taco alone. Oh, no.
Okay. Kevin?
I like everything in it, and I would like it together.
Eat it.
All right, that was predictable. Now, we know when it comes to family, Olive Garden has everyone beat. But what happens when your family takes on a modern-day bread bowl and introduces it to pizza? Let me explain. The Chicken Alfredo Pizza Bowl. They're using pizza bread as the bowl's dough and filling it with a blend of Italian cheeses, Alfredo sauce, and grilled chicken. It's literally a bowl filled with chicken pizza, just in case you were always hoping that your pie could become a sphere. So the bowl will start at $7.99 and, as always, come with unlimited soup or salad and breadsticks. So I ask, would you like to handle or keep pizza rectangle? That was a reach.
Oh.
The Chicken Alfredo Pizza Bowl. Eat or beat it. Let's go back to Allie!
I like anything in a bread bowl, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I would honestly eat the hell out of that.
Eat it.
Yeah. Kevin, eat it or beat it?
Eat it. I'm eating everything, by the way.
Yeah,
so
you
I mean,
are.
It's sort of just across the board.
Uh-huh.
Bean?
I don't think I'm ready to trust Olive Garden with my pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think putting it in a different shape makes it any more appealing to me. I'm also going to beat this.
Okay.
Out of the family will.
Last one. Now, I've never bungee jumped or partook in skydiving, so I'm not much of a daredevil. But if you are, I ask, are you ballsy enough to eat brisket from Subway? Well, for a limited time, you can be the fast food Evel Knievel with the smoked brisket sub. The new sandwich will have smoked brisket, cheddar cheese, and a zesty barbecue sauce served between pieces of freshly baked Italian bread, only for sale through November 7th. You know what they always say, if you want real barbecue, go to Kansas City, Texas, or a Subway location near you. Customers can purchase the brisket sub for $6.99 for a 6-inch or $10.99 for a 12-inch, and you know what that means, Subway brisket Sandy barbecue or barbecue. Ew! Beat it or eat it. Let's go, Kevin.
I don't think I'm eating that one.
Beat it.
Not having it.
All right.
What? No. No, thank you.
Bean?
First of all, I'm very concerned about you having a heart attack. I think Allie was onto something there. The veins are bulging out of your neck. Without comment, I am going to join my man Kevin over there in the not eating it
beat
line.
It.
Okay, Allie.
It's unanimous. Hell no.
Beat it.
Just so you know, I'd have the brisket.
I'm probably
going to do it just for the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
nice.
Get the toilet ready. That's my fast food report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the fast food report with Jen.
Our old friend Scott Aukerman back in the studio, you guys. Comedian, actor, writer, producer.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Creator, writer, and director.
Oh, did I interrupt you?
Yeah.
I was trying to all my credits.
I'm going to read everything on your IMDb, Scott.
Oh, boy.
Creator, writer, director of Between Two Ferns, the movie, available on Netflix Friday. Scott, how the hell are you, man?
I'm really good. It's such a pleasure to be back here. You know, I love coming in, and you know, I'm going to miss you when you're gone, Bean. I have no idea when that's going to be, but
right after this interview, this is the last.
Okay.
last thing I want to check off my list.
Close. Make it memorable. Strong.
Make it memorable.
So, Scott, I hate to be the guy who asks the questions you've had to field forever on this project, but I mean, take us back to the beginning, if you would. I remember we had you in first talking about Between Two Ferns after you interviewed President Obama. After Zach interviewed President
Obama. Was that the first time I ever did the show?
The first noteworthy thing I ever did. It's the first one I remember us talking specifically about Between Two Ferns. But how did it all begin to the point where now here we are with a major motion picture?
Between Two Ferns started 10 years ago when I was going to make a video with Zach. And we were just kind of chatting about things we wanted to do. And he used to have a public access television show. And so did I when I was in high school.
Oh,
and so
is there video?
I
want to
see them. There are videos. Yes.
Wow, we need that so badly.
I was doing just shameless Letterman ripoff kind of comedy stuff.
I mean, we all were.
Yeah, it was 1985. You know,
sure.
But so he said he just had a title. He said, "What if we did a public access thing?" And I just want to call it Between Two Ferns, and that made me laugh really hard because when you do public access TV. All you have is a black curtain, two chairs, and then two giant plants to fill up the frame. So we just improvised it with Michael Cera and put it together and put it on Funny or Die, and people really liked it, and that's how it started.
And you've only done, is this right, you've only done 22 episodes of Between Two Ferns?
It's so strange. We've done 22 in 10 years and then so many for this movie.
Yeah, you really had to ramp it up for this movie.
Yeah, okay. we're so lazy. We decided to a year.
So as popular as some of those episodes were, I mean, with, you know, tens of millions of views, there have to have been times where people in Hollywood have said, hey, how about a movie? Can you make a movie? Hey, can you stretch this out to a movie? I mean, you must have fielded that in the past, right?
Actually, no one, strangely enough, was begging us for it.
Oh, okay.
It didn't happen that way. Okay.
No, we wanted to do one, and not because we were like, man, Between Two Ferns deserves to be up on the big screen.
By the way, let me just interrupt and say, I think it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But we did a Comedy Central special a few years back, and we were in New York where we interviewed Tina Fey and Jon Stewart and Richard Branson. And we were, to fill up the time, the whole half hour, we were like filming in New York and running around just improvising stuff on the street and interviewing people on the street and all sorts of stuff. And it was really fun. And we just had no plan. And we said, if we could do a movie like this where, you know, Zach's done so many comedy movies, but, you know, setting up lights and the cameras and everything takes so long that sometimes, you know, the comedy can get kind of squeezed out of
it.
So we said, if we could do a movie like this that's just totally improvised where we're not setting up cameras all day, it would be really fun. So the trick was to sort of figure out a plot that we could do very, very simply.
So you shot there's a ton of improv in the movie. The scenes are just sketched out by you, right?
Yeah, it's a lot like This is Spinal Tap or Waiting for Guffman. We were really inspired by those. So it's the script was just random thoughts that I wrote down.
You're like diner thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I could write a movie like that.
Literally, it was like hotel room. The cast improvises.
Nice. You're so lazy.
All right, so you barely wrote it. Okay, understood. Yeah. And then tell me about the technology of it. Did you just have like a guy with a handheld camera and a little light, like not a professional setup at all?
No, you know, we built actually a fake public access station here in LA that we could kind of control and light all the time. So it had like a general light with it so that we could set up in five minutes, basically. So if we got an idea, the cast would improvise something a lot. So like Lauren Lapkus, who's in the film, she at one point she improvised one of her duties that she has to do for Zach because she's his assistant. And it was really, really funny. And so we said, set up a camera. Let's go film that right now. And
interesting.
We could do it all really, really quickly. It got more complicated as we went along because the movie kind of gets bigger as it goes along. But the first couple of weeks, we just improvised all day. In a controlled environment.
And how long are those celebrity interviews? Like, how long do you tape those for? Like, how long are they sitting there getting insulted?
We usually, when we do the show online, we would do it in like 2 hours. And then people just slowly start to give you less and less time to, you know, like when we did Obama,
President Obama.
President Obama. They said he would give us 45 minutes. And I said, okay, well, we have a stunt at the end. Just give me a 10-minute warning when he has to leave.
And 2 minutes after he stepped into the room, they whispered in my ear, he has to leave. So we sort of learned how to do it a little more quickly, and especially on the movie when we had to do 20 of the interviews, we just got it kind of down to 45 minutes or so.
I cannot believe, and for folks who haven't seen the trailer, it's the most star-studded thing you've ever seen. I cannot believe how many big stars you got for this thing, Scott.
Yeah,
there must have been a lot of goodwill among, they must have just been fans of Between Two Ferns, I assume.
I don't know how we did it. I mean, especially since we started the movie with no one being cast, and then just cast people as we were filming. So Tiffany Haddish came in on the second day, and Keanu Reeves was like the fourth day, and then Matthew McConaughey, and it just started snowballing where people wanted to be a part of it. And David Letterman.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Nuts.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yeah. Let's take a break on the Letterman thing, because that is, I mean, you said in 1985, all you're doing is ripping off David Letterman, and now here you are essentially directing him in a major motion picture.
Ripping him off in a major motion picture.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you could just lay down in your sweet grave and be happy right now, Scott.
Are you going to murder me?
That's his way of saying it, yes.
People who can't see us, there's a sniper rifle trained on me right now, just a laser dot.
Between Two Ferns, the movie on Netflix Friday. Our friend Scott Aukerman is here. Quick break, more with Scott right after this on K-Rock.
Our guest is Scott Aukerman, who is the writer?
Yeah, hey, come on.
Director of Between Two Ferns, the movie, which is on Netflix Friday.
Do you introduce everyone that way?
No, but
a lot of question marks. Zach is going to be, we're thrilled it's on Netflix because everyone in the whole world could see it. But from seeing the movie, Zach is going to be very disappointed this is not up on the big screen because he was really counting on that, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you only pitch it one place because he doesn't want to drive to another one, that's what happens.
That's amazing.
All right. Let's all worship at the funniest man who was ever on TV, David Letterman. You've been a fan as long as we have, Scott. How did it all come together that he has a couple of key scenes in your Between Two Ferns movie?
Well, I had a list of people that I wanted in the movie and that we went out to, and so many said no. but Letterman was always there because we wanted to have an actual talk show host in the movie, because we wanted Zach to commiserate with a talk show host, because that's his dream, is to get a late night talk show. And Letterman was, you know, the one that I really, really wanted.
And he doesn't do much. I'm sure he gets asked to do a lot and just prefers to fish in Montana.
And I think he's done two movies.
Man on the Moon.
Cabin Boy. And Man on the Moon.
And then he shows up in the Joaquin Phoenix doc and he was mad he's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
interesting.
He almost sued because he was told it was a documentary so they could use the footage without asking him.
Right,
so he does not do movies
He
for
doesn't
many
do
reasons,
movies. Yeah. And he told basically what happened was the producer on the film, Corinne, she told Funny or Die that I would quit the movie unless they got Letterman.
So,
were you aware of that?
I found out later about it.
Is
once
that right?
He actually signed on, she was like, "Oh, by the way, I said you were going to quit."
I wonder
the movie.
What was the pitch? I mean, was he was familiar with Between Two Ferns or no?
He knows Zach.
He knows Zach
was on his show, so I know he had an affinity for
and
Zach.
And on that, he says he's watched every Between Two Ferns.
The night before, he definitely watched every Between Two Ferns because he came in talking about particular jokes and how much he liked it. And
that had to be gratifying. That alone had to be gratifying for you.
It was amazing. But, I mean, basically, he's just talking to Zach because I introduced myself but didn't want to bother him. I'm that type of person who doesn't want to say to the person, your works mean so much to me.
Yeah, you're fangirling out completely.
Yes, exactly. So I'm basically sitting there, and I'm giving David Letterman direction, and the set photographer was under instructions to snap photos of me anytime I would get next to him.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Because I didn't want to pose for with him or anything. So he just could not have been nicer. We didn't know how it was going to go, and we were nervous about it, but he came on set and put everyone at ease.
Did you have to go, cut, Dave, come on, man. Step it up.
Yeah. No, he loved the show, and and then a few months later, I ran into him at an event, and he rhapsodized again about how much he loved the experience and said it was one of his favorite days in show business.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh my
God. Favorite day in show business.
Yeah. And then, and we heard he didn't want to be in scenes because he doesn't like to act in movies, but then he is in scenes with us as well. Yeah. Like, he went ahead and did it, and we were all nervous to ask him. I was like, hey, Zach, go up and please ask David Letterman.
Everybody has to go through Zach?
Yeah, yeah. And so Zach did it once, and then I said, ask him if he'll do another scene, and Zach was like, you have to do it now.
I will say this. I am one of those people that lives for a blooper reel. And
same.
If I can, like, Eastbound and Down, I've probably watch their blooper reel 8,000 times.
Yeah.
This one, I will watch 8 million times because it brought me so much joy. A, just to see Zach break.
Yeah. We've never done one before.
First look behind the curtain.
Yeah, we in fact, we used to not ever even give interviews about Between Two Ferns because we didn't want anyone to ever talk about the process. And there was like a cameraman that we hired for one episode who did an interview about it once, and we were
so mad at him.
Yeah, we were so mad at him. But we decided to put a blooper reel in at the end. Zach really wanted to do it, and just to show people that we are having fun when we make this.
Could have had another 3 hours of that. I would have been fine.
We did it. It was the very last thing we did for the movie. Mm-hmm. I had one day to put it together. It was just like trying to watch as many.
How much of that do you have? How much of that footage? Because you said you spent a long time with each person.
Yeah, we, well, you know, I will say, and no one knows this, I'll just say it here, but we are going to put out episodes for everyone.
That'll yes! be great. Nice.
They'll start coming out this week.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Wow, but only 2 a year.
Yeah, exactly. We want to keep up the pace.
He has to pace himself.
No, but we've only done 22 episodes over 10 years, and then I think we have 10 coming out in the next few weeks. So.
How stoked is Netflix?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, it was a lot of work to also put those together in addition to the movie, but there's so much funny stuff that we couldn't put in the movie. We just really wanted it to be online.
Yeah, because when I saw the Keanu one, I was like, man, I'd like to see a full episode of that.
Yeah. Keanu was great,
so
by the way.
Keanu was so awesome. Benedict Cumberbatch was the nicest dude and hung out for an hour afterwards, hanging out.
And all of these people knew what Between Two Ferns was. There's nobody that signed on that didn't know? Because I always wonder, like, there has to be somebody that goes to their agent. Why didn't you tell me what's happening?
I can never tell. And so at one point, I just assumed everyone knew what they were doing there, and I was talking to one celebrity, and I was 5 minutes into the conversation with them looking at me really confused until I realized they had no idea why they were there.
Oh, no.
What was about to happen. So since then, I've sort of had to go up to people and say, hey, you know, these are like insult jokes. And Keanu Reeves is like, yeah, I know.
It's a great impression.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, that's why I'm here.
Did you also write jokes for them? For the guests? You did?
Yeah. So we the process is usually me and a few other people write 8 pages of jokes the night before, and then the morning of, Zach and I will get into his trailer and go through them, and Zach will sort of pick the ones that he wants to do. But then he just improvises on top of them, because honestly, Zach does not understand a lot of the jokes because he doesn't know anything about pop culture. So I have to explain to him, no, this is funny because this happens.
This is such this is the voice of Scott Aukerman. Again, we're talking about Between Two Ferns, the movie on Netflix Friday. This is such a fly by the seat of your pants experience. The way you're hustling everything right up to the last minute. And you said, Scott, the last segment, you didn't even know who half the celebrities were going to end up being in the movie when you guys started filming it.
No, the fake public access station we were at, where we do a huge stunt at the beginning of the movie that we had to get an enormous studio that where they tape Glow. They tape the wrestling stuff in Glow. We took over that entire studio to do one stunt, and we were running out of time. Glow was coming in on a Tuesday.
Is that right?
We finally got Matthew McConaughey to do it on the Monday before we had to get out of there. And it was just, we never knew who was going to be in it until finally someone just would pop in.
Well, we have barely scratched the surface of the great people that are in this film. Everybody from Will Ferrell and John Hamm to Tiffany Haddish to Peter Dinklage, Chrissy Teigen, Jason Schwartzman, John Cho, John Legend. The list just goes on and on and on. It's so funny. It's available everywhere on Friday. Congratulations, by the way, to you and
Thank
the team.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
My team, yes. My team will be happy to hear that. Thank you so much.
Before we let you go, Scott, as you
know,
email.
We have nothing. We have nothing. Before we let you go, we have nothing. Right. So we'll say goodbye then, I guess, right? Instead.
I have no idea what you were going to do.
That's a good way to say goodbye to Bean forever.
It involved the rifle with the scope in the hall.
Oh,
so,
okay. Bean, is this the last time I'll ever be on the show with you on it?
I hope that's not true, Scott.
Really?
I mean, the thing that I'm going to miss most about this job is no one in this room except for you, Scott. Is the opportunity to talk to people like you, who I'm such a fan of and admire so much, and actually get a chance to, you know, satisfy my curiosity.
Likewise,
I love talking to you.
I've said it before. You guys have been my favorite since I moved back here to LA in 1994, and you know, been listening to you since then. So thank you so much for everything you do.
You're very sweet.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Remember the Scott Aukerman times?
Mm-hmm.
Those were fun.
If you like our sense of humor at all, Between Two Ferns, Friday.
That's for you.
Netflix.
Yeah. That is for you.
Yeah.
And the Nikki Glaser times are still ahead in the 9 o'clock hour. Nikki is going to be joining us talking about her new comedy special. First, though, let's go out to Beer Mug. He is once again in location at the Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood. Rambo Last Blood in theaters on Friday. They are sponsoring our blood drive called K-Rock's Rambo Give Blood Drive. Mugs, how about an update?
Not only am I a doctor, you guys, I am now a licensed phlebotomist.
Mm.
Oh.
I don't think you know what that means.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm impressed that you know that word.
I actually drew blood from our general manager, Japheth, so we're good.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Oh, like, what is he doing?
Another terrible decision by him.
Well, he... Well, he has HPV.
Okay, well, that's terrifying. But we're trying to encourage people to come down and give blood. So let's not give the impression that you're drawing the blood, Mugs, for most people.
Okay, well, I spilled a little bit, but I'm going to get better on the second try.
Nope. There's going to be no second try. You may have missed Bean's point.
I believe Cedar Sinai actually sent real phlebotomists to come down and draw the blood. Now, you have so many prizes. And by the way, even though our show ends in an hour, K-Rock's going to be down there until 3 p.m. So don't be discouraged by, oh, I don't have time, because you do. Go on by, save a life, get some prizes like what, Mugs?
We got tickets to Not Scary Farm still, of Monsters and Men, Cage the Elephant, The Revivalist, Felipe Esparza, and Greta Van Fleet left.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. All right.
And then let's go to whoever gave the most blood, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware it was the competition.
That's how you do it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood. Look it up all the way up until 3 p.m. today. Great job, Mugs.
Look it up.
I'm just saying, people know how to find a casino, right? It's not that hard.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mugs. We don't need to waste a lot of time on the radio giving directions.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Mugs. More Black Keys tickets you can win in 5 minutes. First, Allie, what's happening on this Wednesday?
You excited for season 4 of Fargo?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So much.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
All three seasons have been really, really good to great.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, this is when the cast is led by Chris Rock. He's going to play Loy Cannon, the head of an African-American crime family. And they're going to kind of take on another family made up of Italian-Americans. Really looking forward to it. Production begins in Chicago in the fall. Season 4 is premiering in 2020. But they added someone else to the show yesterday. Hmm. Timothy Olyphant.
Oh, like him.
Seemed early in the drum roll.
He's good.
A little early. Yeah, I could have waited.
Sorry.
I could have waited.
Sorry.
But he's going to have a reoccurring role on the FX series. So, all right. Looking forward to that.
By the way, I was one of the people who was horrified when I heard that Fargo was going to be made into a TV show, because it was a perfect movie.
Yeah.
There was no way they could make a good TV show out of that movie. And I couldn't have been more wrong, because I've loved it.
Yep. I don't think that's going to stop with season 4. I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Just as much. Absolutely. Well, this is something you don't see often, but actually you see the first part often. Lizzo went on Twitter to accuse a Postmates driver of stealing her order. She called out both the driver and Postmates, and writing a tweet, she said, "Hey, Postmates, this girl Tiffany W. stole my food. She's lucky I don't fight no more." Postmates responded saying, "Can you DM us?" And they apologized for the less than satisfactory experience. But Twitter users were really upset with her.
Why? Because the truth hurts?
Oh!
Wow.
Wow. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I'll leave it out.
But people were writing, like, snitches get stitches. And what are you doing? You have a huge platform. Why are you going after a specific person? What are you doing, Lizzo? Here's the part
that doesn't happen much. She deleted the tweet and then wrote, I apologize for putting that girl on blast. I understand I have a large following and that there were so many variables that could have put her in danger. I'm going to be more responsible with my use of social media and check my petty and my pride at the door. Wait, I'm sorry. You genuinely reflected wow. on what you had done and did an actual apology, not like, sorry if I offended any of Tiffany W's friends, something like that. This is a genuine apology. That's rare nowadays.
That's beautiful, actually.
So would you say she and the Postmates driver are now good as hell?
I
now file it, please.
Yeah, I need you.
He got away with one. We're not letting him get away with two.
Yeah.
Damn.
Good Lord.
Well, I mean, she's got a lot of juice with that many Twitter followers.
Jeez. All right.
My gosh.
She's learning responsibility now.
Do you think that really happened, or do you not think that really happened?
Oh, I think it happened. I don't think she made it up.
Three of them he's done.
Mm-hmm. Three. All right. Moving along. Green Day have made very political statements in the past. Kind of what they're known for. But don't expect the band's upcoming new album to feature songs about President Trump. And there's a reason for it, because frontman Billy Joe Armstrong said, and I quote, Trump gives me diarrhea. I don't want to write a song about it.
I made a poopy in my diapie.
But here's the part that I found interesting. Instead of the current president, Armstrong told Billboard that the band's new 10-song album was inspired in part by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh.
He said, quote, we wanted to create a dance groove with space between the drums and the vocals, inspired by the way Kendrick Lamar does songs, or more old school Motown music, with its leading with the rhythm.
Well, the first single doesn't demonstrate either of those.
Well, the first single is very rocky,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I'm excited for this album.
Same,
sure, yeah.
Cannot wait. And real weird, awful stuff happening over on Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys,
yeah.
Twitter, and his brother Aaron. So Nick Carter has been given a temporary restraining order against his younger brother Aaron after he allegedly threatened to kill Nick's pregnant wife Lauren and their Ooh, unborn child.
Wow. And he's got like a bunch of guns.
Well, that's the thing. He was recently on the show The Doctors. He revealed that he suffered from multiple personality disorder, schizophrenia, acute anxiety, manic depression, and was prescribed several different medications. And then he went on TMZ Live and said, I'm not struggling with my mental health. And they asked him about cops visiting his home the previous night with plans to put him on a psychiatric hold. And he let the cops know, I have multiple guns in my house. I just need you guys to know that. And it was their eighth visit to his home in 2 weeks to check on his mental health.
Guns.
And
wow.
they left. There was nothing they could do at that point. So Nick Carter's like, you've been spiraling out of control. I need to protect my family. But then Aaron started tweeting last night, all of this is happening because I am talking to one of the girls that has accused Nick Carter of rape in the past. So he's saying it was a slight on the family. So now Nick is coming after him in this way.
Ooh.
It is getting real ugly.
Yeah.
It's just bad all around. And I wish...
I wish she didn't have guns. That's my main thing.
Absolutely.
Because if someone has a mental issues and should be 5150 at some point, don't give them guns.
I know there's so many legalities that go into actually placing someone on a 5150, but to go to a house eight times in 2 weeks,
should be it.
I feel like maybe it is not.
I'm not sure I follow, but okay. I'll go ahead and accept that answer.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's get to some birthdays. James Marsden, Jada Pinkett Smith, Jason Sudeikis, and happy birthday to Fred Willard.
What happened?
Well, what happened is your birthday.
One of our very favorite stand-up comedians and people in the whole wide world, Nikki Glaser, in studio with us here on K-Rock.
Oh, thanks for having me.
She's at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. New special banging. We'll talk about hitting Netflix October 1st. And she is a tornado of hot takes in the first minute she's been in the studio today. Some stuff we can't say.
Oh, no. Yeah. But when it all breaks at some point in the future, you'll be like, I remember Nikki Glaser.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She warned us.
The one we can say is that she said she came in here and chugged a water, and we were like, whoa.
Chugged.
But then she said, I hate water. I have to drink it like this.
Yeah, it's a painful thing to get through for me.
I don't think that's rare. I think a lot of people
hate water or just hate how much you have to drink.
No, they just aren't into water at all.
It's not like I'm disgusted by water. I know that it makes me skin better. It makes everything work better. And it's just, it's tedious for me to have to sip on it all day. So I'd rather just like chug it. Every morning I wake up and I chug like 4 glasses of water and I feel like I want to throw up. But I just like get that out of the way and then I feel like I'm good for most of the day. Hmm. But yeah, it's just water is a, it's just another, it's just it's another burden. Thing that you're just like, oh,
burden.
That's why I'm not the way that I want to be. I'm not drinking enough water. And it's like, there's always something and it's just exhausting.
Well,
there's always something you're not doing enough of.
I have great news for you because you are young enough that you will see a world, including California, with no water. So
I know. I'm just trying to get it in before it, we start fighting over it. It's true.
So, Nikki, you have been extraordinarily busy lately.
Yes.
I don't even know where to start because you've got... Let me just throw this out there because I know we all have things we want to ask you. I want to talk about the Alec Baldwin roast.
Yeah.
Which was phenomenal, by the way.
Thank you.
Sean Hayes. I could not believe how funny that dude was.
He was so
good. He was the roastmaster, I guess,
right?
Or the
host. Emceed the event. And he was great. And he was so, he's someone I've watched from afar for so long on Will and Grace. Like, I grew up watching Will and Grace. It was my mom's favorite show. So to be able to meet him backstage and be friends with him now and like have a moment where he thinks I'm funny and I think he's funny. It's just like, I keep having these moments where I'm like, what is my life? Like, these people you like looked up to are now thinking that I'm funny. It's like, it's just my little girl dream has come true. And I really think I'm ready to quit the business. Like, it doesn't get better than this.
Get out now. Wow. Yeah, get out now.
You know, I did Conan the other night and Conan O'Brien is the reason I do stand-up comedy. When I discovered his show in eighth grade, I was obsessed, and I was like, I gotta work in comedy. My whole goal in doing this was just to be a regular on his show, and now it's my fifth appearance, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm done. I don't need anything else.
We're gonna get back to the roast in a second, because you bring up Conan, who is my... dream man.
Dream.
I love
By
him
the way,
so very much.
So much so, she will not meet him.
Will not.
Oh,
refuse.
You need to meet him. He is
That's
exactly,
what everyone says.
No. He won't disappoint.
I know. He's wonderful. Everyone tells me he's wonderful.
But why don't you want to meet him?
I don't know. Because I can't make out with him, and that will hurt.
I know. But he'll, you know what? He'll make you feel so special. He'll make you feel so seen. Well, he's so sweet.
This
and funny.
Is why I want to talk to you about appearing on Conan. Because it's some of my favorite... interactions. Like, I used to love Letterman, and now I'm going to space her name. Amy. We'll
Poehler?
Talk. No, God, I suck. Her brother's a writer.
Oh, Sedaris.
Sedaris.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Their reactions were so great together.
Yes.
That's how I think of your Conan, because it's obvious how much you respect him, how much you love him, that when he breaks, like, I feel such... I'm proud.
Thank
like,
you.
Like, the honor I feel for you. And
thank you. You get it.
When you also say things to him that you know he's questioning, oh, my God.
I know.
This is never going to make air because it's so amazingly out of control. And then you see you literally cringe like, I've let Conan down.
Oh, I really felt that way. Everyone goes, you love it. You love making him uncomfortable. I don't like making anyone uncomfortable. That is not... People go, oh, you're a sex comic. That's what you do. You love the groans. You love to make people cringe. You love to make them squirm in their seats. I hate that. All I'm doing is talking about what I'm interested in and what I think is funny. It just so happens to make people uncomfortable sometimes.
Oh,
but watching
it makes
Conan,
me laugh so hard.
Watching Conan react and have those reactions of like horror or like, I can't believe she just said that. It really makes me feel sad. And I feel like I
your whole face changes.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh no, I just did it.
And I go, Conan, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, you're not. No, you're, and I go, I really am. Conan, I really am. Because I felt like, you know, taking a joke on Conan that is like really dirty. I felt like I was walking into someone's house that says like, don't take your, or to take your shoes off. And I'm like trampling dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
Like right. I respect his house so much that I, but then he, it's funny because right when we finished the segment, I didn't even know if I had done well because his reactions were so horrified. Everyone in the crowd is kind of feeding off of him being like, what's happening right now? And they're both laughing, but then, and I even said to Andy, you can watch the clip, I go, was that good?
Right.
Like, I even said, I go, did that, was this okay? What did I do here? And then afterwards, Conan's like, listen, that's the dynamic here between you and I.
And
it's like,
the best.
You say shocking things, I look at the camera, act shocked. He was like, of course it's a real thing.
Yeah.
He's a repressed Catholic boy.
He talks about having to call his mother when she comes on the show and saying, Don't watch the show tonight.
I know. But he was so kind to me afterwards to make sure, because I was like, did that go well? Did I disrespect his show by being too dirty? Because I don't want to ever do that.
No.
And he was like, no, it was great.
It's
and he's
the greatest.
It was so much fun. So,
Are
that
you guys
was a blast.
Now?
now?
Yeah, we are friends.
Friends with Conan. Whoa. That's the greatest.
It's crazy. Whoa. I did his podcast the other day, and we got to like sit down and talk for an hour face to face.
Amazing.
And afterwards, he's like, we got to bring Nikki into the mix at Conan. We got to invite her to the parties. I was like, my life is complete. And then his assistant, Sona, was on my radio show the other day.
So
and I'm
much.
Like, I'm like friends with people.
So
like,
what's left? What's left?
Okay, I'll tell you what's left. I would like to be friendly with Jennifer Aniston. I would like to have her as like a
highly
good, close
possible
friend.
Yeah,
I think it could happen. I'm very outspoken about my love of her. I do a pretty good impression. Okay,
that's good.
We can be friends. I love you. So I feel like I spent my whole life trying to be Jennifer Aniston, yeah. And I think I would love to be friends with her. So when that happens, I can actually quit the business because I can just like move into her guest house.
I'd like
house.
To suggest that none of us want you to quit the business.
No. Yeah. Well, I am so tired, to be honest with you. I can't.
Well, take a break.
Well, I can't keep up with this business. Mm-hmm. I am working too hard. This was my schedule the past week. It was insane.
Okay.
I did the roast, which mm-hmm. When I do the roast, it is like I am training for the Olympics. I'm out every night. I'm writing jokes all day. I hire a staff of people to write for me. I am like, it's like I'm running a writer's room. It's insane. Then I did the roast. So much pressure. Finished the roast. And then on a Saturday night, Thursday night, I go and tape a Netflix special, which is my second Netflix special I've taped. Taped one in May that's coming out on October 1st. It's called Bangin'. You got to check it out.
Wait, you wait for just you. Taped another one
another
this week?
Another one, a 20-minute one.
What
this
the?
Week, Thursday after the roast, which I was like, I flew to Vegas. I forgot my entire wardrobe for the taping. I had to have my friend, I had to fly my friend to Vegas with my wardrobe. It was a whole nightmare.
Oh my God.
Taped that. Then I flew to Indianapolis to do two shows on Friday, two shows Saturday. Flew back to L.A., did Conan on Monday. Today
this is
Tuesday.
A week she's talking about yeah. A week
no, today
and a half
is
now.
Wednesday. Wednesday, I have a photo shoot all day today, and then tomorrow I'm on Lights Out with David Spade. Friday I'm in Irvine, two shows. Saturday I'm in Irvine, two shows. Sunday I fly to Vegas, do three shows. Fly out that night, land in the morning at 6 a.m. in New York, and I do my radio show at 10 a.m.
Why
and then
are you trying to die?
I don't.
These are terrible choices.
Well, here's the thing.
All of them separate.
I'm avoiding
fine.
The fact that I am. I don't have a boyfriend. I'm lonely. I'm avoiding my feelings. I'm okay. A workaholic because if I stop for a second, I will realize that I'm kind of maybe lonely and that life is kind of sad. Mm. So I work. Oh. I'm addicted to work because I don't drink anymore. I do smoke pot. I do eat pot. I do enjoy doing that. But work is my drug. Work.
You shove it up your ass.
I haven't tried that yet, yeah. And I am open to it. Just one of the little gummies. Mm-hmm. Can I do just one of the?
No, you don't really shove a gummy up your butt.
Well,
don't knock it.
I have done that once. Can I tell you a story? One time.
No.
All right. Well, you can't.
Yes, but you can in a second. You can in a second.
Okay.
By the way, the improv shows this weekend—they're going to suck, or you're going to rally and they're going to be great.
No, that's the most fun I have on stage. Is just being able to get up there and like. Let loose and be in front of a live crowd, and it's not about looking beautiful. It's not a taping.
It re-energizes you once you hit the stage.
I can't wait. As soon as I grab the mic, I will dread every second leading up to the second I grab the mic, and I always have fun on stage, so please come see me in Irvine at the Improv.
Fantastic. Improv.com/Irvine. Nikki Glaser is our guest. A quick break. More with her right after this on K-Rock.
It is 9:37.
Our friend Nikki Glaser in studio right now. She is at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. Don't miss her. And her new Netflix special called Bangin', which we'll get to in a minute, is dropping on October the 1st. Now, Nikki, I apologize, but I interrupted because we had to take a break there.
Yeah.
I was talking about how exhausted you are and stressed out you are, but then you take the stage, you hit that stage with the microphone, and you feel great. You said, I got to tell you a funny story.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about putting weed gummies maybe up your butt as a suppository.
It was brought up.
And you said, maybe don't do that. And I said, well, I kind of have done that before. I want some. I'm hilarious. I don't know if you've been able to tell. And I don't have a lot to offer men in terms of, like, I'm maybe not the best in bed. I try my best. But I'm really funny when it comes to sex. Like, I try not to be, like, too funny because guys don't have a sense of humor when they have a boner.
Well, their penis definitely doesn't have a sense of humor.
But I do make funny things around sex. So one time I was picking up my ex-boyfriend at the airport, and he was my boyfriend at the time. Hadn't seen him in a while. Very excited to see him. And I knew that, like, whenever he picks me up and I'm driving, like, he'll do some stuff to me on the car ride home, like, instantly. You know,
okay.
Things will start happening with his hands and my body. Right. You get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I decided, and I had also just purchased him his favorite snack because I knew he'd be hungry after coming off the plane, of gummy worms. And I was like, like the sugary gummy worms, like the sour gummy worms?
Sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so I was like, wait a second. I know where his hand's going to go immediately. I have these gummy worms. Why don't I put one in my vagina, just on the outside? Just like tuck it in very lightly. Like just in the just
so he feels
I love it.
So he goes for it and then he's like, what is that? And he's like, what the? And he pulls out a gummy worm and I'm like, isn't that funny? He's like, no, like he did not think it was funny. I thought it was a great bit.
Well, it's not a vending machine, Nikki. I mean...
know. I gotta stop putting stuff in there, but I thought it would be fun.
Speaking of, and this is gonna be a difficult transition, but speaking of putting things in your vagina,
yeah.
I feel like as a result of watching your new Netflix special Bangin', I feel like I know more about you, your likes, your dislikes, your sexual history,
yeah.
your body. I know every inch of your body and everything you've ever done sexually or thought about sexually. There's never been a more personal and explicit comedy special than Bangin'. Am I right?
Thank you so much. I don't know. I haven't watched all the specials, but I definitely put it out there of like what women experience on our end and what men can do on their end to make our experience a little bit better, because it's just so hard to communicate these things in bed. I mean, I talk a good game on stage of like, you need to tell men what you want. And men, you need to tell women what we're doing wrong. But when you're in the moment and you're naked and things are going down, we all just kind of like, people say never fake orgasms. Girls, you should never fake orgasms. Well, how am I ever supposed to end this? I want to get back on my phone. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not faking orgasms because I'm not being true to myself. I just know that it's not going to happen, and there's nothing he can do to make it happen,
okay.
And I don't even know what to do to myself to make it happen. So I fake one so I can get back on my phone.
Sure.
And so this special is what I've done with this special. Is I so many times during my live shows on the road, I would talk about sex stuff and I would say like, girls like this, guys stop doing this, and girls would come up to me and be like, is there any way you could record this so I can watch it in front of my boyfriend and just like laugh really hard?
A lot of teachable like, moments in this.
Yes, and and that's what this is like you can put this special on and men and women will both learn from it of how to pleasure each other more, because here's the thing, I actually. I use it as a way, my stand-up as a way to communicate to men that I'm interested in dating and am currently dating, you know? Because I have a hard time being like, hey, babe, I don't like it when you do this, or this makes me feel... for instance, I used to have a boyfriend that did the silent treatment. When he would get mad at me, he would just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even know what I had said wrong. You know, one time it was because we were watching The Bachelor, and one of the hot guys on the show took his shirt off, and I gasped because I couldn't help my feelings. And he took offense to that. And then for the next several days, he was just in a bad mood at me because I had hurt his feelings.
That's so weird.
But he doesn't know how to, like, really express his feelings because he, you know, grew up with parents who didn't care about his feelings. So he doesn't understand how to express his anger. So he bottles it up and he's mad at me and he doesn't even know how to tell me he's mad at me. But he's just, we've all been in these relationships where men shut down and they're one word answers and you go, are you mad? No. What? No, you know, and women do it to men too, and it's really hurtful. And so I wrote an entire joke. I've never talked to him about it and said, hey, babe, it hurts me when you shut down for a week because I said something that didn't mean to hurt you. So I wrote a joke about the silent treatment and how there's it's really mean to do. There's nowhere for women to go. There's not like an ignored women's shelter that we can go to and show up and go like, am I safe here? And they're like, yeah, you're fine. I'm like, but what if he finds me? And they're like, he's not looking for you. He's glad you left. He thinks you moved in too soon. So I did that joke. He watched it and stopped doing it.
Is that right?
And then he just started hitting me. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
No. But part of my joke was, if you are someone who does the silent treatment and you know who you are, or if you're in a relationship with someone who does it, it is a form of abuse and it should not be overlooked. And sometimes it would be like a week long of him
for
just
something
being
that tiny.
That tiny. Yeah. And sometimes I wouldn't even be able to trace it. And there would be times where I'd be like, can you just hit me? Can we be done with it? Just hit me across the face. At least that's a touch. Touch me hard. I'll take it. Just touch me.
No.
Because you don't get touched. It really hurts when you do the silent treatment. So I get, this is the thing, is I use my stand-up to communicate to men in my life.
Well,
and I am so
that.
Thirsty recently. All my appearances have just been about how I am single. I want a relationship. I want a boyfriend. Come at me. I'm hot. I got a body. I'm working out all the time. And it's not for me. it's going to waste. I don't even hook up. I don't care about my body. I don't look at myself when I like am and feel him. I could close my eyes when I'm masturbating. I don't need this. This is for men, and I'm doing nothing with it. It's just sitting on a shelf.
That is sad.
So someone come get it, please.
Did you see? I don't know if you can see the crowd when you're on stage, Nikki Glaser, but did you see how many people were watching that show with their hands over their eyes? They were so embarrassed.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Wait, which one?
Banging.
Yeah, banging.
No, I didn't see that. Thank you for pointing it out. Yeah, it was.
Because they can't believe what's coming out of your mouth.
I made a mistake with the special. Of the audience was way too lit, and that's the problem. Is like when
like
the audience
lit isn't good or lit.
No,
isn't,
lit isn't lighting wise. They were too exposed, so that's probably why they were hiding their faces, because they were like, I don't want to be associated with this. I should have had them in the dark, and that was a mistake on my part. But it's one of those specials that it might make you uncomfortable, but I really feel like it's going to resonate with both men and women.
It's great.
I'm just talking honestly. That's all there is to it.
It's not only great, it's the first time I can ever remember in the years we've been doing this show that I have not been able to pull a clip to play on the radio when the comedian comes in. Because I could not find 30 seconds that was FCC friendly.
Yikes!
So, well done. Mission accomplished.
All right. Thank you.
Before we run out of time, let me ask my real quick Alec Baldwin Rose questions that
yes,
I wanted to get to.
Please.
Two things real quick. You are hanging out with Robert De Niro. Now, mm-hmm. you talk about one of those "Is This My Life" moments. Did you have any meaningful interaction with him?
I did. Backstage, I shook his hand very mm-hmm. briefly. And then after his set, I went up to him and said, "Masterful job, sir."
Everyone
and
that was so intimidated that he was there, right?
Yeah,
everyone.
He was so nice, though. And there was no like really big takeaway from meeting him. He was just a sweet, smiley man.
That's great.
And, it was everything I could have hoped it would
All
be.
All right. And part two is you did go home with Blake Griffin, I hope.
Oh, man, I tried,
you sure tried.
So hard, dude.
You sure tried.
Listen, my whole set was just about how much I wanted to have sex with him. Like, because that was, you know, I write these roast jokes from a place of, like, what really?
I heard.
I literally would, and I want to.
And he's too funny. He's funny
and
also.
And he's funny, too. Yeah. And I feel like I have, that's when guys are into comedy, hot guys are kind of in the comedy world, I have a little bit more clout. Usually they bang supermodels, but because I'm funny, they kind of are like, oh, I'm raised up a couple. Like, I'm a comedy 9, but, like, I can be a comedy. I can be, like, elevated to a street 8 in their eyes. Because I'm funny. So I thought, and, you know, we were talking the whole time, and it was a little awkward because then he goes up on stage and talks about how he would never have sex with me.
And then you're seated next to each
and
other.
And then I'm
for
sitting next to him
roast.
The rest of this time.
Yeah.
But we really did have a good time. And at one point, our arms were touching, and neither of us let it go. And so that made me feel alive, and I'm just definitely going to use that as fuel
for sure.
In my blind masturbation sessions to follow. But I
it's sad that what you have is just touching arms.
Oh yeah.
That's the highlight.
He's so hot. He was so funny. He was really charismatic, really nice, but no slides into my DMs. I think he has a girlfriend, so I'm hoping that falls apart and that at some point he remembers the connection we had that night and then he slides away into my DMs. But
fair enough.
But yeah, but I'm not trying to ruin any relationship, but I am trying to plant that seed. Because let's be honest, most things don't last. So when girls go, why would you flirt with someone with a boyfriend? I don't know, because everything ends. Every relationship ends until you're married, and then that usually ends too. So I'm allowed to flirt a little bit because that guy's going to be single at some point, and I want him to think of me first.
Great strategy.
I'm not doing anything out of line. I'm not trying to go after them, but a little bit of a flirt is, there's nothing wrong with that.
You got to remind him.
Yeah, his girlfriend's going to murder me. But she's like, I think she's like a billionaire.
But
and
she won't be around long, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, because I'm going to take care of that.
Right.
Nikki is
at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Nikki Glaser Bangin' Special is coming out very soon in a couple of weeks on Netflix on Tuesday, October the 1st. And, of course, the Comedy Central radio show you're doing on Sirius XM Channel 95.
Yes.
Mondays through Thursdays.
And a podcast every Friday called The U Up Podcast, and it's this. It's me just talking. Slow down, Nikki.
Slow down.
I know I can't. Seriously. Sorry.
No, no. Just take some time off.
We just mean time off.
No, yeah, it's coming soon. You know what? I'm going on vacation.
When's the last vacation?
No,
event?
You know what? I was just thinking. I need a vacation so badly, but the only way I'm going to do it is if I go to get plastic surgery because I keep trying to get stuff done. I want to get butt implants or I want to get injections. I want to get some face stuff done, but I don't have time to do it because you need time to recover.
Sure.
And I go, that'll be my excuse to get a vacation. I'll just go get butt injections and then go to Cabo and wait it off and then get something done while I'm there.
Oh, in Cabo? Yeah, that's a place with the best.
I'll get it done in Miami by like a good doctor and then fly to Cabo and then relax on my stomach. For the whole
thing. Okay. All right.
Because
that's quite
a plan.
That's quite a solid plan.
With
some gummy bears, right? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Nikki Glaser, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
We love you too. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
On your drive home today, tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. Get up on this with Jensen. RJ Bell gives us.